Blog Talk Radio.
Looks like we're shy of one horse.
You brought two too many.
Thank you.
evening. Here we go again, y'all. Another hump day. And spring has been negated by a bite of winter. Yeah, those fucking groundhogs, they don't want to leave yet. But it is cold. I'm sorry. None of that spring thing going on now. It's like winter left a little last licks going on and stuff. Good evening, good evening, good evening, and welcome. As we do our thing here, I'm your host, Michael Lewis, and DJ Honeycomb, and as always, it is good to have you in the house. Soul Tree Radio, proudly brought to you by BASNNewsroom.com and the Assassin of the Black Athlete Sports Network. Get all the good shit, the who, what, when, where, why, and how, right now, at www.BASNNewsroom.com. Shout out to the members of the Brother Man Network and our sister gals as well. I'm going to give a special shout out to my beautiful sister Celestial, Chris Walton Kelly. Good to see you back on the beam again. I hope you're well, sis. You know, all good things to you and yours. I've always appreciated brains and beauty. And my sister Celestial has been blessed with both of those things. First on the grid tonight from Philadelphia, my colleague, Norfolk State born and bred, D. Orlando Ledbetter. D, what's going on?
Man, how are you doing, Mike? How are you feeling?
I'm well, man. I'm hanging in there. I'm just glad that spring finally got here, although there's a little bit of chill in the air. How are you?
Listen, I'm great. I'm great sitting down, relaxing. You know, as April comes, it's always warmer in the month of March up north than it is in the month of April to start out.
I didn't know that. See, and I'm an April baby.
Damn,
I should have known.
Always warmer. We may mess around and still get another, you know, coating of snow before it's all said and done.
Yeah, don't even entertain that notion. Don't give them no help. I'm a man, Reggie. Listen. Media Reggie is in the mix as well. Reggie, can you hear us? Reggie, can you hear us?
Yes, sir. Can you hear me?
Now I can. Wake your ass up. Speak up, brother.
Trust and believe, we wide awake, bro. Wide awake.
I know. Gentlemen, what's on your minds tonight?
Well, I just want to just say real quick that the NFL free agency is the craziest I've ever seen in my life. For Kansas City to let one of their speed burners go tells me two things. Number one, that the big contract that the quarterback signed affected. Number two, I think that it might have been some situation where these players are smart enough now where the dirty word of guaranteed contract is starting to come up. And these guys knowing that one hit and one violent hit, my career is over. So I better get my guaranteed money. And, you know, I'm going to say this right now. That clown from ESPN, what Mike Mad Dog, love that. Hell is sorry, crack
right,
ass.
Then you got Mad Dog, Mad Dog loose on the asshole.
Man, he said that not only did he try to talk shit about Bubba Chuck, Allen Iverson not being that great of a player, so he, in my opinion, has lost a little bit of credibility he had in the NBA, but also tried to put Pete Maravich in front of LeBron James. But the thing that really pissed me off was that he going to say that he's leaving to get a couple bucks. Now, Europeans have always shown that when a black man goes up in statues, they lose their blue bunny mind. Can you help a brother out?
Well, you pretty much nailed a lot of that stuff. You know, Allen Iverson, forget about basketball. He's one of the best pound-for-pound athletes to ever walk on a sporting field. He was all state in football and basketball, and is
not
one of the
all state. He was a player. He was a player of the year.
He was a player of the year
in the state of Virginia in football and basketball. And the year
that
he was locked up, right?
I've seen that close in person. I can tell you, he was a better football player than basketball.
Yes, he was.
I agree.
Tony Rutledge became his backcourt mate became the player of the year in basketball. But I covered Bubba Chuck when he was in high school because I was at Norfolk at the time. And like Brad said, that brother was a better football player than he was a basketball player.
Yeah, tell him about Orlando. You know what I'm from. Tell him about it.
He was a better football player. And I think what people don't understand, if you put AI in today's game with the freedom of movement, right?
Yes.
There are very, very few, I'm talking one hand of players in the league right now that could keep up with him. And what these players don't do that AI did, AI would put it on you for 47 minutes a game. Larry Brown would sit him down for two minutes a game and be the first two minutes of Larry Brown's life.
Kobe Bryant said, you better be glad he's not 6'6 or 6'7. You would have had problems.
Oh, shit. Yeah, Darryl hit right on the head. Allen Iverson had a motor that would not stop. And I saw enough sixes balls to know for fact. Allen Iverson was always on the go. He was always quicker than most of the people on the court, and that includes some of the so-called defensive experts. And that crossover dribble was poison. I mean, poison. Whenever he was on the court. And the fact that he might have been as good, if not a better football player, is scaring the hell out of me just thinking about it. I got Tony McClain in the mix as well. Big T, what's going on?
Just to further that on Iverson, he was basically Mike Vick before Mike Vick. Would that be safe to say?
That's true. Mm-hmm. Yeah. That's a nice analogy. He really was. For him to be able to fly like that around and to be a small man and dominate, and he did dominate, to be a small man and dominate he did.
But of course, he'd make a better cornerback.
Oh, of course. Of course. My brother Gary Norris Gray is in the mix as well.
Like I said, I've seen that brother up here in the 804 come, the 80757 come to 804 and just turn it out. We had my man Coach McPhee back in the day that coached Huguenot High School. And he was checking out Allen. He said, y'all better wait till y'all see Bubba Chuck. He said, Bubba Chuck? Who's a Bubba Chuck? He said, if you don't know, you wouldn't know by the end of the game.
I heard that.
But these to say, they found out up close in person who Bubba Chuck was.
Yep.
Well, I'm glad that I'm glad that John Thompson found out who he was because he saved that kid. You know, God only knows what would have happened.
Those bastards got what they had planned to do. Mike, I got to help with that. The former Governor Wilder was the one that got the legal ball going. And also, former Governor Wilder reached out to Big John Thompson's ancestor. So that's a little behind-the-scenes story about that. And I can tell everybody knows that Bubba Chuck got framed in that bullshit fight in the bowl now.
Mm-hmm.
He was the biggest name, the biggest fish, and they wanted to go after his ass. And like like he said in his speech, his mama begged George Thompson, John Thompson, but also she knew she had to go to former Governor Wilder to get the ball going.
You know, and also the thing that I think we always have to think of, remember, we know about Iverson's story. There are so many Iversons and Vicks that came before, during, and after that, you know, weren't given the same opportunities. And see, end of the day, that's what it's all about. You know, because see, you know, and look, you know, we were blessed to be able to see him in his prime, both at Georgetown and in Philly. But again, there's just so many other. Matter of fact, one of his mentors, Tommy Reeman, who I believe was his high school football coach, I believe. Now, Tommy Reeman was a fairly good to be the ball player back in the day. Unfortunately, he wasn't given the same opportunities. And now I remember him. I want to say either USFL or World Football League, one or the other. And then he had a brief cup of coffee in the NFL. But the thing is, that area of Newport News and in that general vicinity, that was a hotbed of all sorts of football, basketball talent.
It's funny you mentioned Tommy Reeman because I was just watching a couple of days ago, North Dallas 40. And if you remember, Tommy Riemann played the part of the running back Delma, who had the issue with his knee that they shot up and whatnot and got blasted. And, you know, I can remember Nick Nolte saying, fix his face. You know, I mean, they had some NFL players in that game, but Riemann stood out because of the fact that he was also reflecting on what a lot of players felt like that many of them didn't want, especially because this is just a couple of years after they were able to operate on knees with any alacrity that they didn't want to have their knees messed with.
You know, to stay with that, and I don't want to go too far off because I know we've got other stuff to talk about. Did anyone happen to catch the kid? I guess it was the Michigan kid that tore up his knee during his, I guess he was his pro day or what have you. And you literally saw, like, folks, like, as, you know, I want to say it was his pro day. And he, you know, he was doing drills and everything, and he clearly, you know, tore the ACL or MCL.
Ooh,
and,
oh, my God.
And literally, the folks that are there are sort of like, okay, you know, roll him off the way so we can get the other person out here. Literally.
Mm-hmm.
Like, and you know, it's very reminiscent of that particular scene in the movie because, you know, again, and it's a constant reminder for these kids to, you know, I mean, not to go whatever, get your education, whatever, because they, you know, they look at you as another piece of meat. And the minute you get hurt, you're just another, you know, again, I always refer to the Morris Chestnut character in Boys in the Hood. And say, hey, Ricky, don't forget about us when you make it to USC. And he basically said, hey, don't forget about me if I don't.
Hello. Well, nothing, true words never spoken, but, you know, free agency, if nothing else, laid out some blatant capitalist notions. It was the recent free agency period in the National Football League. We know that the owners made money. We know that the teams made money. We know everybody paid money and took money.
There's a conspiracy behind it, Michael.
Oh, come on, G. What's on your mind?
Conspiracy behind this. Okay, let me bring it down to you guys.
Yes, sir.
Who was the number one quarterback? Who was the number one quarterback at AFC?
Yeah. my adopted daddy from Kansas City.
Okay, okay.
I'm online and get adopted too. Yep.
Okay. Now, gentlemen, where are the most teams going? Where are the most players going last 2 weeks? AFC, right? For every action,
there's an
opposite equal reaction.
True that,
ooh,
Doctor. Gary, all right. Gary pulling out his physics books tonight. There you go.
Gentlemen, they are after Patrick Mahomes. Why? Because they know Patrick Mahomes can win the Super Bowl. They will do everything.
So just to, you know what? Just a sort of not devil's advocate, mind you, but so does Deshaun going to Cleveland and Russell going to Denver? Is that part of the conspiracy as well?
Why? Okay. Why? Look, we all know Russell Wilson there. No team is yet. Where does he go? Denver.
Right.
Same division.
Yeah. Uh-huh. The AFC is going to be hot this year, no question. Regardless.
Yeah, even with Vanilla Ice in Indianapolis.
No shit. But pick up on this. This is what gets me.
The money.
The money. Mr. Watson. signed for essentially $46 million a season. $46 million. You can't beat that with a stick. Now, remember, the first guaranteed contract we heard about was Kirk Cousins and his non-playing ass going to Minnesota, $81 million guaranteed. Now, Watson gets over $230 million guaranteed. Just today, Tyreek Hill, the cheetah, a wide receiver who was a difference maker for Kansas City, signed a contract with Miami, Negro Adamus points to Miss McClain, with a $70 million guaranteed contract. Now, where's all this going? Clearly.
Don't forget Devontae's reunion with Mr. Carr down in Vegas.
Almost there. He's also getting money in Oakland. He got guaranteed money as well. But the way that the money was thrown around.
That's a good thing though, isn't it, Gary?
Why is that a good thing?
Well, it was a good thing, Gary. I'm thinking.
You call Russell Wilson an old man, but yet you can't call him an old man. Get out of here!
Come on, Gary. Now, you know the NFL has to have white heroes. We know this. But what we don't speak on is the fact that the money that Brady could have gotten from Dallas wasn't in the kitty because Jerry Jones had an episode of Mama's Baby, Daddy's Maybe,
and
he had to pay through the nose for it. Now, of course, it wouldn't have been enough to affect him, but we hypothesized that Brady would come back. We did say this. I believed in all my heart that he was going to come back as the professors in the mix, that he was going to come back to Dallas because Jerry Jones, first of all, does not want a black quarterback leading his team, no matter what anybody says. And that redneck faction was sticking out like a sore thumb. But because of the money that he laid out and because of the publicity that laid him out, he had no choice but to capitulate. As Tampa Bay said, hey, come on back another year. We'll make sure the referees protect your ass. We'll make sure if anybody breathes on you, we'll throw a flag. So what, of course, did he say? I'll be back. Yes, and now he's back.
So, what
do you do with all this?
Well, also, you have to remember also, one of the other reasons why there's some extra money out there, the updated deal with Amazon Prime, because now they will be the, I guess, for now, the exclusive home, and see the whole Sunday ticket thing is still up in the air because their contract with DirecTV has run out, and you know, the Mouse, Amazon Prime, and Peacock have also been mentioned as possibly getting the thing. And basically now, I'm no fan of either, but the fact that the Mouse stole Fox's number one team in their eyes for Monday Night Football.
Now Monday Night Football
basically is going to get a facelift. Matter of fact, rumors are having it that they're going to try to find some way to give them one or two flex games. Now, I don't think Monday Night Football will go back to the stature that it had back in the day, and I don't think it will surpass Sunday Night Football. But at this point, considering where it's been basically for the last 5 to 10 years, the facelift that they're trying to do, and again, it's their eyes, not ours. I mean, when I heard that they signed them, I just basically re-upped my 5-year contract with my mute button on Monday night. So it's not affecting, you know, it's the same old mess, you know, as far as I'm concerned. But you know, whenever there's that extra TV money and there's that extra generate, because see, you see that they've already got the you know, they've already got four or five foreign games all set for this year as well.
That's right.
And everything. So yeah, this is, you know, that's part, you know, and again, I'm not poo-pooing any of the conspiracy theories, but that's sort of directly where all that money's coming from, at least for now. And I believe the Amazon Prime thing, I believe it's for at least a 5-year deal. I don't know what's going to wind up happening with Sunday Ticket, but one would guess that it's, you know, one would guess that it would be a couple of decent bucks along the way here.
I would think a couple of bucks to spare in that. Professor, you're down there in North Kakalaki, and you were one of the suitors for Mr. Watson's services, but apparently the package was not sweet enough to bring him in there. Did it surprise you as to how much money they were willing to spend to get him, or was the actual volume of the trade that Watson got from Cleveland so much so many more gugavs or cash that Carolina just said, hell no, we don't want any part of it, and good evening?
Well, just to prove I still have some manners, good evening. Or, as we say in the South, hi, y'all. How y'all doing? having said all that, I didn't hear y'all mention nothing about this scumbag that was signed by Pittsburgh.
Oh, I know about the
I stayed here quietly listening to y'all talking about all those blue jobs and blue that went the other direction. For a one-leg quarterback, a no-talent quarterback.
Yep.
And we got one that's got both legs and still no talent. So what are y'all talking about? Why is all this bitching and moaning about, you know, you bring up Tom Brady. At least he's still a good has-been, but we got a never-was. And ain't going to be.
This is true.
So why y'all, what's y'all beef? And who you beefing
with?
Well,
I'll tell you what, mine's not a beef, but my question is, as Reggie would say, what in the ham sandwich would make Mike Tomlin think that Mitchell Trubisky has any game left in him at all? That would be one hell of a coaching
game. What do you mean left in him? He didn't have none in the first place. So, see, now here's my conspiracy theory. I think Tomlin's on drugs. He got a white woman in somewhere or something. He got caught doing something with the Ronies and gentlemen. Something's out there that shouldn't be, because I know his judgment can't be that bad. I mean, not on his worst day.
You know, and to add to Fred's conspiracy theory, could this be not backlash for signing one Brian Flores?
Come on. Yes, indeed.
Well, isn't Flores a defensive coordinator?
I'm just saying, the fact that he was going to the NFL.
You know,
that's right.
It could be, but still, come on. If you have followed the Steelers for the last 40 years, roughly, 40 years, or is it 50? Yeah, it's 40. 50.
All right.
Almost 50 years now. Okay.
Let's make it 45.
They started this stuff in 69. So that's been 50 years.
Sure.
Because I was still in high school. Anyway, the one thing that everybody always forget about the Steelers was Steelers won with strong defense and just enough offense to get by with. Even though they got a running back in the Hall of Fame, they got a quarterback in the Hall of Fame, they got two receivers in the Hall of Fame, got an offensive lineman and two or three others who should be in the Hall of Fame. But the true essence of the Steelers has always been defense.
Absolutely.
They,
okay.
You know, I mean, I watched a game the other night, and as I was telling one of my friends from church, I said, you know, I felt so bad about the way the Steelers beat the Cowboys in that particular game. Not the Cowboys, but the Redskins. They beat the Redskins so bad. I almost called this guy who's a Redskins fan, and I said, "I almost called you and apologized." But then there was a score of fourth quarter. But you know, go back to look at how they've always put their team together. We can stop anybody, and especially. And the crazy thing is, they want you to run. Because if you run, you will get behind. You played into their hands.
Mm-hmm.
They had the best cover. They had some of the best cover defenders out there. Several. I mean, you got two of the defensive backs in the Hall of Fame should have two or three more over the years.
That's right. They're strong enough to support holes. Yeah.
I mean, they. That's just how they did it. And.
Yes.
In today's environment, they struggle because we're past happy now anyway. And,
mm-hmm.
you know, think about it. You got the blunt rule.
Yes.
And that's not, you know, that's nothing you can roll over, but it's the blunt rule. And those kinds
right.
of things you got to look at. Now, having
mm-hmm.
said that, it's either kickback or whatever the case may be. I don't get
yeah.
I mean, you can't, you know, and I hope I'm wrong about Tomlin. I don't want him spending half the summer in drug rehab, or he had another breakdown, or whatever the case may be. But you know, looking across the entire league, called the you know, not for long NFL.
Mm-hmm.
There's a lot of. Think about it. They talk about the game being affordable for the common fan and all this kind of stuff, right? They're paying one player more than they were paying a whole team, what, 10
Pretty
years
much.
Ago?
Yes.
You got all kinds of stuff going out there, this on out there that we don't even talk about, because think about it. Go back to the Steelers. Who builds a stadium that you can't kick field goals only past 35, 40 yards? Who designed a stadium that way?
All right.
But for all you know, to me, the Ronings, they take a step forward and a step back. And you know they spread that lie about the helmets working and not working. There was nothing wrong with the players. Steroids is okay and all this kind of stuff. They did all of that back. They went along to get along, going back all the way back. So having said that, there's more flaky money floating around in the NFL. As well as other sports, it's just like it is in the United States.
It's ridiculous
how, you know,
money
has,
you're talking
cause,
about.
Because you know, think about it. Has anybody? They talk about inflation and all that other stuff, but has anybody even brought up the case that says somebody got to pay for all them shots everybody getting, all this testing we doing for free? You know, it's like this invisible. It's like money is just appearing out of nowhere, like we were true. It's like it's truly in a fairy tale or whatever. And so there's no real answer to all of this, other than somebody spending money somewhere.
Fred, there's an answer. We've got every owner. There's no such thing as a broke owner in the National Football League. There are some who got billions more than others. If we look at what the Rams did with Kroenke buying himself a Super Bowl with that non-playing Matthew Stafford, that boy still ain't shit, but they got a Super Bowl. And now Cleveland and Jimmy Haslam decided they're going to buy themselves one. So they give $230 million for what? Their running game already was strong with Chubb and Hunt. Their defense is decent. They got an offensive line. Watson is walking into a trunk-tighter situation as he possibly could have from a playing standpoint. I mean, even if you consider the nonsense going on in Pittsburgh with Trubisky, they're spending money to do it. Everybody's got money. It's a matter of who spends it and how they spend it in this case. And, gentlemen, is that what we're seeing? And are we going to see more of it? Because there's still states who don't have it yet. D, is there gaming in Virginia now? Is it count? Can you bet sports?
You know, I was just down there for the MEAC tournament. So
mm-hmm.
they are getting their gaming license. There are several sites that they're looking at, one in Portsmouth. I think they're going to have one in Norfolk. They have the land geographically. I mean, you look at up here, by New York getting there, Connecticut, obviously, with the Sun Casino, and then Philly getting theirs. I mean, there's really no use of going down to Boardwalk Hall in Atlantic City anymore.
There you go.
If you're in Philly, like, why drive that 40 minutes?
That's right.
Drive while you're black on that extension of the turnpike. When you can go to Parts Casino, or you can go right downtown Philly. There's a casino right on the
Sugar House. That's right.
I was having another conversation just about the weed topic. And then don't beat me up on the religion stuff here, but I was saying the same thing. Like, they found a way to make money off of gambling legally. So they made it, just like they found a way to make money off of marijuana and hemp. They're growing it here now.
Mm-hmm.
But what they don't tell you is that the marijuana that they grow in this country, they use very little of that. They're still importing that marijuana from those southern countries with sun, but they just control the price of it. Now it's cheaper. Your marijuana here.
Which of course leads to the inevitable question, which is more expensive now, weed or gas?
Another question I wanted to throw at you guys. Why, and it's going to sound generic, but I'll point it out. Why haven't our black churches gotten to the hemp, the marijuana, as another way to finance and take control over our dollars?
Because that's a devil's workshop is what it is.
If you can get the street boy from Newark and from North Philly that knows how to sell it, and you can bring them within the church and use their mind, that intellectual energy that they have.
I'm 1,000% in agreement with you, Dave. That's exactly right. I think it's a smart way, business-wise, to incentivize an organization or groups of organizations to pool their resources and earn capital, legitimately earn capital.
Mike.
Yes.
Here goes my C in diplomacy.
Come on.
Since when have church people, et cetera, et cetera, all that whole bunch of folks, specifically the black church, since when have they been known for being really smart and doing things?
Yep.
Truly pushing things that truly help the greater black community, because for every move forward, there's two step back, or if they're not moving forward or back, they're moving to the side, stopping and watching. Having said that, do you know that with the project I'm doing to raise money through the history of HBCUs, you know who I have some of the worst kickback from, and the most hands on the table,
other
HBCUs. Among the HBCUs, because you know it's kind of how they operate. They're still stuck on this idea of we will beg for what we need. And
okay.
Here comes somebody, and what is hurt has been that lady whose husband founded Amazon or somebody, and they're giving us this, but it's almost like we got free money now. Yeah, but they're among the worst when it comes to treating athletics as extracurricular activities instead of sports entertainment business.
Yeah.
And I give you case in point. Mr. Williams up at St. Aug, because they could not control the money he was making through Nike and so forth. There was initially they were going to put him out of the, put the school out, St. Aug, out of the CIAA because they had this separate deal. Well,
right.
Here's a man who was the U.S. Olympic track team coach. Okay.
Okay.
He's better known than the school is.
Mm-hmm.
And eventually they found, they kept bringing in new people to lead the school, and slowly but surely, his circle of friends within the school and on the board dwindled. So now he's just making the money on his own.
Mm-hmm.
Because they were more interested in controlling him and his pocketbook than they were in getting ahead. So and then we won't even get into the fact that where I live, there are enough churches along the street that runs. Let me put it this way, because my personal church is right at the corner, right at the end of the line. I just said, when I go from my neighborhood, make a left turn, and go down to Fayetteville State, it's 4 miles.
Hmm.
Do you realize there's enough money generated on a Sunday by Sunday basis that if these 30 plus churches were to put their money into a bank, they could start their own bank, and we have not mentioned a church like the roughly 20 in our county. There are 20 plus AME Zion churches.
Okay. Mm-hmm.
There are another roughly 20 AME churches across our county. We haven't talked about how many regular Baptist churches plus the Free Will Baptist churches. We haven't talked about we got gobs of churches here. Nobody laugh, T-Mac, I'm going to grab you by your throat. You realize that the last black bank that we had here in Fayetteville, Cumberland County, the last black bank we had was torn down about 10, 12 years ago. They tore the old building down. The bank got sold through the way the Fed closed the bank. They came in and did that process and sold them off. They tore the building down and put up a Walgreens.
Oh,
okay.
Holy shit.
Yes. This is Vietnam. And the same syndrome that you hear with the churches, you have the same syndrome with HBCUs and the business and the true business side of things, because it's befuddling to look out there and say, okay, these people, you want to say all the proper things, all the good things there are that you can possibly say about them, and trust me, I try. But sometimes y'all's friends hit that nerve, And I want to read back. I want to just revert back to one of my favorite uncles, who cussed just because he, you know, just he sounded like he's a comedian. He cussed just because he liked cussing. It has no form of fashion. It has nothing. It don't solve nothing. But mm-hmm. he liked to cuss. Well, there are times mm-hmm. that let me come on. You know, this is unbelievable. And some of the people that they put in leadership. You heard me say this before. In 2010, I think it was, they changed leadership at Winston-Salem State when they brought that clown in. The people in Winston, he had set up his plum job on campus, and basically the people in Winston, no, you're not welcome here because you can't go nowhere now as chancellor. So you sure as hell ain't gonna go nowhere. As whatever it is you've set up. So he left. I think I heard he's in Florida. But, you know, these are kind of things that this is like the boss back in the day during the post-Reconstruction day. You know, you can go to jail for 2 years for jaywalking or no visible means of support. You don't have enough money to buy your child a candy bar, so you're going to end up going to jail behind that thing. Seems stupidity.
Unbelievable.
That same thing is out there now.
So, Fred, you bring up the next question, and I got Eric Satterwhite mixed with me. You and Dow are the most southernmost brothers in the thread here. Are there black banks, or is there a black bank in your state or vicinity? That's for you and Dow.
Mechanics and Farmers is located out of Durham.
Mm-hmm.
It's a black bank that has offices in Durham, Raleigh, Greensboro, Winston-Salem, mm-hmm. Charlotte, and some of those they have multiple branches.
Okay. Dow, any in Virginia?
Well, no, I'm in Philly, so, you know, we got the two
that's
banks
right.
here in Philadelphia.
I keep forgetting. My bad.
Yeah.
Yes.
Yeah, that's all right.
Now we know what you got in geography.
As far as that's concerned, though, the point is made. I mean, the fact that there's not a conduit for some of this money to find a home and germinate and marinate is important. Eric, now I know you're out in California, but
right.
I have not heard of any black bank in any state that has either quietly or loudly jumped on this concept and started to accrue assets in some of the ways that was spoken on before you came on the thread. And good evening, sir.
Yo, good evening. Yeah, what's going on with everybody? I mean, what's happening? Being in the financial and service industry is, you know, almost three decades, right? You know, I'm still kind of active in that realm from various forms of, and also be on the lending hand of that, you know, moving transactions, be they commercial, residential, mm-hmm. real estate, what have you. When it comes to some of these financial institutions, you know, I mean, first of all, are they FDIC insured? And also, are they thrifting loans? Because not a lot of these financial institutions have full licensing. They operate like a bank. They may have a savings component. They may have a depositor component. They may not be able to issue major credit cards. They may be able to do secure cards. So you see a lot of these financial institutions doing kind of debit cards. Practically none of them do any kind of mortgage lending, where the real juice is at, right? Doing real estate transactions, financing loans. So being the bank, you know, you can be open, you're structured as a financial institution, but you have depository limits. So in other words, if someone wanted to go out, you know, and do a business loan, this financial institution that may be operating under the guise of, you know, African-American financial institution may not have the full criteria and licensing to move the needle, right, to finance projects, which is the key. That's the money bag. You know, it's not being a bank. You know what I mean? And that's and then with so many other institutions.
Wow.
And then being able to bank anywhere nationally nowadays, right? You know, if I want to set up an account that has the highest interest bearing account, I can do that, and that bank may be headquartered in Dubai. Doesn't matter. they have a license here to hold it and I get a return on interest, I can do that.
Uh-huh.
You know what I mean? Or I can move some crypto or whatever it may be through a certain financial institution. So the game is wide open, you know, in terms of how you move the loot. You know what I mean? And so a lot of these people do not do the traditionals.
Mm-hmm.
You know what I'm saying? But there are, you know, black financial institutions definitely in Southern California. There were some organizations I did business with that was linked, you know, one gentleman, I'm certain he won't mind if I use his name. His name was like Fuller Gordy, right? So he was, you know, Barry's nephew, right? His brother, Fuller Gordy, was like a major bowling, his father was a major bowling guy. He was also a Motown, you know, founder. And, you know, he's still doing some things down there at Staples with the Lakers. So, you know, we connect because he was working with some investors, this, that, and the other in SoCal. And then there's other kinds of lending arms. Like, you can go to certain cities. And the way they do financing in Las Vegas, where I know some brothers are really in the mix. Matter of fact, the guy that, you know, put Floyd's money together. Because Floyd Mayweather, for the full name, you know, when Floyd was, you know, starting out, he was almost, you know, he was going BK, a.k.a. bankrupt, right?
Mm-hmm.
So there's brothers out there really nice with the cash, but their financial way of doing things there and the way they structured, I was shit. I was like, this is the wild, wild west in Utah. But it was totally above board legit because it's always the licensing of how these financial institutions operate and fund business. So a lot of these organizations, first of all, they're FDI insured, that's cool, but they may have deposit limits, right? They may also have situations where they don't fund everything. How many organizations can you go to and get pre-approved for a car loan? Very few. Very few. Mm-hmm. You're not into that level of the financing. So, you know, when you look at these things, you know, and start chopping it up, you know, and taking these deeper dives and how to move these things, not everyone's getting a line of credit from these organizations. Or there's other people like hedge fund managers who can do lines of credit that can outdo any bank. In a way, they are a bank. You follow? So I just kind of want to just, you know, bring some brevity to the game. If someone's been doing this thing and working in all that realm for so long, that a lot of these organizations at Black Bank can't fund a postage stamp if you needed to start a business.
Oh, shit. That's something mind-blowing.
Why they're not in these games. That's why they're not in these games. I mean, I can't go get them. You know, hey, I want a first mortgage, right? You know, and I want to go talk to a loan officer at a black-owned bank. And the first thing he may say to me, first of all, we don't do these kinds of loans. And if we do, we have a limitation. Well, I've got a house, $700K free and clear. You know, that's a hypothetical. I just want to break up $100K, do a refinance. Oh, we got limits on that. We don't do any refi cash, so we only do rates and terms. But they're not even that part of the game.
Wow.
They're invisible to the real realm of how money moves in the USA. They exist to exist to meet guidelines. Mm-hmm. And then when you start breaking it down, right, from the FDIC insurance component, but you also have to look at each area and region, you know, or the Federal Reserve banks, right? You know, how are they linked up with that? What's that dude that ran for president, that brother? He's a Republican. He was a Federal Reserve Bank president. I forgot his name. You know, a few years ago, you know, he's a brother that ran a Republican car. You know, he didn't last long. Dark-skinned brother wore glasses. Well, I think he passed not too long ago. He was a literary Federal Reserve. He was a literal Federal Reserve bank.
Yes.
You know, I mean, when you in that loop, you in the loop.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the loop of the loop, because they print money. You know, I mean, imagine waking up one morning, you know, have some coffee, kiss your wife goodbye. You know, old school style, read the daily paper. Go, shit, how much money do we want to print today?
Mm-hmm.
Huh? That's the deal. No, if you ain't that print money room, you passed a lot of tests in the Eagle to get to that hierarchy. So the way
there
to trickle
no
down
about
it is,
that.
You know what I'm saying? So when you start trickling down the money, when people come into Mike's calls, you know, Mike's show, you know, over the course of the year, you know, they want the deep drop. They want the deep drop. They want the deep dive. We're not going to do the surface skating shit of kumbaya. Because they exist don't mean they really move in the loop. I mean, how many people are funding real estate transactions, business loans, lines of credits, moving needles, investing overseas, moving the crates, OPEC, zilch. Okay, all right, so we get together. All right, let's put an enterprise together, which you don't have to do nowadays. There's ways to fund your own enterprise. That internet, man, has got people who are savvy through that getting broken off.
Okay.
They don't need to move through these channels no more, right?
Mm-hmm.
They can move it in a different way. They can put their brand out there for free and get broken off and set up accounts financially. That when the Biden administration was like saying, hey, we want to start tracking bank transactions for $600, right?
Right.
Mm-hmm. That shit got blown out of the water. The banks were like, this is insane. Oh, they got
mm-hmm.
off that trajectory fast. Because the limit's 10K, right? So real quick, I was just going to wrap this final point up.
Yes, that's right.
Exactly. It didn't go no. I mean, that was so dead in the water. I mean, those who move in the money world was like, oh, you're about to try to fuck up my game. You know what I'm saying? I operate under that window, right?
Okay.
And it would not work. The matter of minutia of detail and the algorithms and the AI, you got to commit to calculate that and to watch that. You just can't do it because they know people are moving savvily within that realm, getting broken off, not following
That's
the traditional
true.
Coordinates.
Well,
those traditional
well,
coordinates
try
don't exist no more.
No, let's try this on for size because the professor always likes to bring up the reality that this is sports entertainment. Now, are we at the point where it's all entertainment and it ain't no sports? Because, like you said, certain people got broken off. Sean Watson and Tyreek Hill, they've received over $300 million between the two of them in less than 2 weeks. You know, we already know that Brady's coming back, and he has been given assurances that he will be protected, that his old ass will suffer the slings and arrows of being pounded into the turf like a runaway slave. But having said all that, here's the money. Everybody is making money. Okay, Tony, what were you going to say?
Well, the one thing also that it's literally staring us in our face is
mm-hmm.
the gambling aspect.
Yes.
Full disclosure, and I think I've said this a bunch of times, I subscribe to IPTV. I think there's a lot of, it's not, cable TV for the most part is pretty much dying. People either have like pay-per-view stuff or what have you. I have IPTV, and it gives me the ability to basically watch as many games, college, pro, or whatever as I can watch. But on the sports side of it, there's a, the particular one that I have, there is a quadrant that is called basically the Players Club. And the five channels that are involved in it are by name, Sports Grid, Poker to Go Plus, Players TV, Fantasy Sports Network, and 11 Sports. And also Primetime Action is the other. These are basically gambling, quote, fantasy league things.
Yeah.
You can turn them on. Matter of fact, I'm watching, I'm gonna use this as an example. I'm watching, Fantasy Sports Network.
Mm-hmm.
They basically, think of ESPN, but you have talking heads doing prop bets for, say the Lakers are playing the Spurs tonight at the Great Western Forum, the Staples Center, sorry about that.
Okay.
They'll have, as the scroll goes on, they'll have Laker prop bets. LeBron, LeBron scoring X amount of money, plus 300, minus 200. So they'll basically go through the entire roster. Then they'll do the same thing for the Spurs. They'll do it for hockey. And they'll also have stuff in regards to the NCAA tournament.
Mm-hmm.
Thing is, because FanDuel and DraftKings and all these other places are basically in bed with these leagues.
Mm-hmm.
That's where the other money is coming in, too. Now, I was being kind when I said the TV stuff, because, the TV money is still always going to be there because that's a huge money-making scheme, not just here, but overseas, because you know, you've got so many folks that can bet, you know, on, you know, there's probably more online betting that goes on overseas than even here in this country.
That's true. Yeah.
A lot of the places who can't be quote unquote legalized here will go overseas, sort of like a Swiss bank account, so to speak, where they can make their money and be legit. And it all runs together. But see, that's you know, that's the other factor now, is that once you quote unquote, see, it was always sort of, you know, looked upon, you know, with, you know, with a wink and a nod. That wink and a nod is now like, you know, come on in. You know,
that's
and
a good
see,
point.
Now and see now they're, you know, they're shameless about it. You know, when the Ridley thing broke last week, I was actually surprised, because I figured the first person that would be broken off would be a college player or a college referee.
Yeah,
I wouldn't have expected a pro player. But given the atmosphere, it's not that surprising, I guess, because of that free money. Now he also showed his incredible stupidity, because here was a guy that was ready to get paid, and he basically, you know, blew away a possible, say, $12 to $13 million contract for making a $1,500 bid.
Well, let's weigh in real quick. Lee Harvey Ridley or James Earl Ridley is nothing but the fall guy in the pawn.
Oh, absolutely.
And that's why I'm like really light on him, you know, because, I mean, come on, man. We've been around jocks, man. I mean, you get embarrassed in some of the things you can see from a world-renowned promoted jock, that when you get in public, he did not just hold his fork the way I just seen it. You know what I'm saying? I mean, in terms of the level of sophistication and contriteness, and what you would feel a person would have experience-wise, who may have traveled the world, been interacting with other people, you figure there'd be a little more level of sophistication, and boy, a lot of times it's a supreme letdown, right? Let's keep that 100, right? But we're not going to dime it out, because, you know, we do the family thing. But when it comes to James Earl Ridley, or Harvey Ridley, whatever you want to call him, you know, I mean, the fall guy, the guy that took the hit for the industry, you know, and Tony made a great point. You know, I mean, come on, man. We've already known in the NBA. We've known Tim Donaghy. They so swept that under the rug. You do right? He did a big, which means guess what? It happens. Okay? It actually friggin' happens. It's just like, not to segue too far, it's like this dude Epstein. So all the so-called conspiracy theorists all those years talking about, you know, the flight he had to Epstein Island and all the people associated with Philly, guess what? It's true.
Yeah.
It's true. He got convicted. He got canned. He got clipped in the can and all his other coordinates. So all those name brand people and politicians and others, or Holly weirdos who were affiliated, they did not go there, you know, to watch a horse race in Ireland to place bets. Okay. So they were participating in certain things. Now, when you break it back down to the thing, the number one can do it when, I mean, the number one outing goes back a couple of years was when that Seattle Seahawks game where those referees took 20 minutes with the replacement refs to make that final call. Where they huddled for 2 hours and made the worst call. And then they said, oh, we got to get the real refs out. We no longer are hitting any longer. So the strikes are your number one manipulators to keep that money going. You got to have them encased in glass to work the numbers to get these spreads the way they go. No way you can have that many NFL games last year fall the way they fall. There's sophisticated ways to make those things happen, how you move the needle, how you officiate the game, how you make calls, how you study with the all things Vegas does. They moved the needle. I mean, all those games that came down to last year, oh, they played great ball, which created a cash out for this announcer. Yeah. So even though Ty Hill got his money, and I guarantee, like Al Michaels, Joe Buck, and Troy Aikman, and Tony Romo.
That's right.
Their money is guaranteed. Ty Hill's not guaranteed.
Ty Hill's
and Mike, think about this.
Yeah, he's one ACL away from working, you know, from working UPS basically.
Racing, hey Tony, racing horses like they did Jesse Owens, you know. So.
Yeah. It's just more sophisticated now. That's all. That's the only difference.
No,
take it to the metaverse. You know, put it on the metaverse in virtual reality to watch the race and shit and play spats. But man, the guys, I mean, no fucking referees, man. They were, woo. My goodness,
listen,
man, they got, I mean, you talk about
this is, magicians. Eric, this is what we're talking about. The referees are the next X Factor because we've seen FIFA have problems with referees for years. And football and soccer has made far more money and far more influence than American football has ever. And there were referees who have been working for FIFA for years who were X-Factor the equation. Because of the degree of the scandal and how far down it went.
Oh, absolutely.
Now, Fred, I brought you up at the top because Carolina, they didn't go all in for Watson, but they put up a lot, and they were willing to put up a lot. What was the blowback to everything they gave up? It was not enough to entice Watson. What was said, if anything at all?
Well, Mike... I keep trying to convince you that team is the Charlotte team, Charlotte and Western South Carolina team. That is not North Carolina team. And the only thing that's less well-known than the Carolina Panthers is called Charlotte Hornets or whatever the name is now. The professional North Carolina, remember, Eastern North Carolina has four teams in the NCAA in the Sweet 16. We have North Carolina State women, number one seed. We have the North Carolina University of North Carolina women, 20 miles away, who's in the Sweet 16. We have the University of North Carolina with a black color boy. Who got his white wife at University of North Carolina. And then we have Coach K, who's between a rock and a hard place, waiting to slip on off and ride on off into the sunset with his 1,200 win. Okay?
Oh, Lord.
Mm-hmm. We have no connection other than, I mean, you know, we got some guys at church who when certain teams come to town, come to Charlotte, they'll take Sunday off and go to the ball game.
Right.
But beyond that, I mean, there's a few. One of my best friends is a Carolina Panthers fan, right? Can't name 10 people on the team. But he's a fan because they're from North Carolina.
That's real talk. Because the Brooklyn Dodgers were all about Brooklyn, right? And the Yankees were running New York City. Right?
That's right.
I mean, in other words, the Clippers can never run L.A. That's always going to be a Laker town. And
that's
the Chargers will always be a mismatch because they're strictly still considered San Diego. So, you're a Charlotte team, but you are not reaching Lumbee County.
Mm-hmm.
Let's put it this way. The best way to look at the Charlotte, the two teams is the professional and the professional basketball and professional football,
much like the Washington football team, the North Carolina football team, basically.
They're Carolina, not North Carolina. They're not South Carolina, because where they're located, if you go about 10 miles south, you're in South Carolina. Actually, less than that.
Was it designed to be that way, though, Fred? Really, to attract both Carolinas as kind of a mega city thing?
Well, Mike, I'll answer it like this.
Mike,
remember when they played the first season?
Yep.
Clemson.
Okay.
Clemson is the professional sports team in South Carolina, right?
You know where that training facility is?
South Carolina.
South Carolina.
Spartansburg, isn't it?
So,
yeah,
you know,
and South Carolina is not right with anything with the Panthers or anything with the Bobcats. I mean, the Bobcats marketing and their reach is, like Fred said, it's a Charlotte team. It's a really centralized Carolina team. It has no reach throughout that region. People in South Carolina, you know, the most densely populated black state in the union, have nothing to do with these squads.
Wow.
The thing you got to look at there is if you the reach of the professional teams in North Carolina, the major league professional team in North Carolina, when you leave Charlotte and come east, by the time you burn, say, a good gallon, maybe 2 gallons of gas, you're out of that circle.
Okay.
The Durham Bulls, the Durham Bulls are more popular in Eastern North Carolina than either of the two professional teams, major league teams.
They got a bigger national following, clearly.
Wow.
Definitely.
As well as the collegiate teams in Tobacco Rope.
Oh, absolutely.
Angeles is the same thing, man. I mean, they were not riding with the Rams, man. SC and UCLA football are the professional football teams in Southern California.
Yeah.
Okay.
See, that was a money grab. But see, that was a money grab by the NFL because even after all, remember, they were away from LA for 20 years, and they still made money. But again,
they went to the Super Bowl. And every game last year, they got outnumbered by every fan. So, no, the NFL was a smooth operator. So what the NFL does is like, this is the city of Los Angeles. We know the fan base is not going to be ever that large in Los Angeles because on a Sunday afternoon in Southern California, you got other things to do than sit in a big stadium. There's beaches and all that other things, right? So there's other things to do down there. But what they did do, which was the smart move, they knew that those cities that came to Los Angeles, the Cleveland Browns, the Pittsburgh Steelers, from cold weather states were going to always buy that ticket in advance and sell it out. And they were going to get that tourist dollar to bring them into Inglewood. Always up to no good. Shake, shake it, baby. California love. And so with all that being said, that's the whole scenario. So when you watch when Pittsburgh went in, shit, I thought we were at Three River, whatever their new ball, Heinz Field.
That's true.
When the Niners went there for the NFC Championship, shoot, I mean, we were in Santa Clara.
And, you know, the irony
Cincinnati,
of it is
almost
more to
Cincinnati
come.
Practically was 50-50 in there.
Yeah,
the Super Bowl.
And there's more to come.
And so that's the money. It's that out-of-town dollar, that plane ticket, those hotels, those rental cars, that dining
that's money
out,
revenue.
All those Southern California amenities, going to the studios, Disney is where the NFL's driving dollars. They're not trusting the Rams to do shit, but they got the bargain. Mm-hmm. They're getting that fan base to come in. Now they're the Super Bowl champ. They're going to increase the travel dollar even more.
No joke. Okay. Gary, pick up on this. Gary, this season, we know Super Bowl's going to be in Arizona. So the NFL already has gobs of money. Now they're going to get even more. What do you think that they're going to do, firstly, in setting things up for Arizona? And on a side note, if the A's don't get this stadium and everything that goes with it, is Oakland dead in the sports map?
Oakland, as it has been or will be, the A's are on their way out.
They're out. Yeah, they're out.
Everybody goes to Vegas anyway.
That's embarrassing.
Yeah. Well, the Oakland Coliseum, though, is beyond the word archaic. And plus, you know, at one time they had Oracle's gone. They moved to Frisco. They moved down to the coast. They're in the Barbary Coast. That's what it's called. They're down there in Frisco now. So they left Oakland. And then what happened was there was times, and G would know this, when there would be games at Oracle as well as if the A's or the – matter of fact, it's when the Raiders were playing, right? Where there's no parking controls. I mean, you can find a way that you can get 77 cars to merge into two lanes. It's amazing because no one guiding you out, but no one ever got in an accident and shit.
Holy
shit. You know, I mean, it's a horrible, and it's literally in, you know, I mean, an urban engineered region of town, too. You know, I mean, to be frank. The freeway access was cool. I mean, the visibility access for those arenas was dated, man. And, you know, I mean, they did a really good job updating Oracle, you know, when Larry Ellison put money in it, you know, from the Oracle family,
right,
based on some other folks. But when it came down to, you know, I mean, moving out there, I mean, Vegas was just the proverbial no-brainer. That was going to just happen. The A's are out of there. You know, they're a major league franchise. They'll get something, you know, different. But, you know, Oakland's done, and Oakland's dealing with a lot, too, man. I mean, it's just not, you know, working anymore there. I mean, you know, the pandemic has not been kind to Oakland. You know, so there's just a lot of
they're getting a new USFL team called the Panthers. I wonder, okay, they get a brand new team called the Panthers, where are we going to play at?
Okay, exactly. You know, exactly. I mean, so if you go down to Berkeley, is our stadium still up? And Levi is not in San Francisco, you know.
It's in Santa Clara.
And it's pushed down further from, you know, Frisco. But when they put it in Santa Clara, as usual, they pushed it towards the tech industry because that's not too far from Palo Alto and San Jose. Got it?
And ironically, one of the first problems they had when they opened the place was that it had shitty Wi-Fi.
That's funny. And shit, you go, you go to a place like San Jose, you might feel you're going to fall in the brain. Ain't no one in that mofo moving because everything is online. You know what I mean? Mm-hmm. It's just moving that needle down there. So, I mean, like every area has their, you know, fiber optic levels. That's what Silicon Valley's built. So, you know, I mean, you get great internet service in Northern California, no question, and tremendous speed. But the thing is that they pushed down to that area for the tech dollar. And what was carrying Oakland for so many years were the techies who were buying those season tickets. The Warriors were winning. They were driving things up. So that's the same tech dollar they was using when they moved it into Frisco. You know what I mean? And that's what they're taking place. But Oakland's done.
San Francisco, right?
Yeah.
And when they moved to San Francisco, who did they take with them? They took all the techies moved from Oakland to San Francisco. That's what happened. You have 60,000 people going over the city now, going over to
matter of fact, if they really wanted to fuck with them, they'd put them all on dial up in Oakland.
Wouldn't it be the responsibility of any corporation to not just know their territory, but who they're marketing to? I mean, you said
the techies. What the NBA does then? What the NHL understand is you got to cater to the people of Oakland, and they didn't do that.
Gotcha.
They catered to the Bay Area and Oakland. You can't do that.
Uh-huh.
You catered to the people of Oakland and Berkeley, and they did not do that. That's right. I think there's a racial thing to this. More than people would admit to, okay? Because the lowland people are minorities. The island people are basically white. And people in the island do not want any tea to get at all.
I mean, yeah, it's a rap, man. There's no compassion for so-called a long-term fan. I mean, when the Raiders played their last game, they got to throwing hands all in that stadium and going eight because they were done, right? It's no longer there. They're going to have to get that Southwest flight to Vegas if they want to do anything just moving forward. And plus the way these leagues put these stadium mandates on what's required to consider yourself a stadium to get a franchise, it's on a level where if you ain't balling out cash-wise, you can forget it. And all those stadiums are dated. And that's what this dude Ballmer's doing in Los Angeles. He does not want to commingle with the Lakers no more. You know, y'all can have Staples. He's building his own shit.
And isn't it interesting that the former Staples Center is now like it's got a .com name now, right?
Yeah, crypto. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, crypto. Yeah, crypto.com. Exactly.
Yeah, the investors. Yeah. Mm-hmm. I mean. There's more millionaires in SoCal per square mile than anywhere else because it doesn't move on dumbness down there, right?
Oh, absolutely.
We could be popping off too for to keep it 100. I ain't playing that same. They call it for the city of Los Angeles or something. You know what I mean? But at the same time, you know, they move on, like NorCal or these other areas, they move on innovation. And if you're not innovating, you're stuck.
Yeah.
You are friggin' stuck. If you're holding on to, like, these old, you know, rudiments, you know, like even how you look at financial institutions, you're stuck. Because that's not even an existing realm to how loot is being moved these days.
Yeah. It's a whole different ballgame.
Absolutely. Yeah, I mean, and you see these oligarchies. And what did the United States just mack the shit out of the Russia? The moment they took them out the SWIFT financial program, game over. Your ruble is worth cabbage peelings in the joint in Liberty, Mississippi. It's worth that much money now. You are proverbially done.
The ruble is not worth one kopeck, which is basically a Russian penny. That's how bad it is.
It's nothing. Zilcho. Mm-hmm. And you're stuck. You're getting handled to. You can't finance or fuel more weaponry. You're just getting ganked over there, walked right into it. And then it's just nothing you can do about it. It's just a matter of time. TikTok and all that other talk is a joke. To pull off, you know, to pull off what they talk about, pull off, it takes a whole lot of physics that just don't exist. So it's all about the financial system. But again, when you can control that internet and you can control the movement of those bytes and have that AI, where the United States dominates all these countries, everyone's dependent on Silicon Valley globally.
Mm-hmm.
No way around it.
Yeah, the story
this
the whole
no
deal. Russia declares war. NATO declares business. And business always trumps
you know,
war.
Yeah, I mean, they just choked dude out. They choked him out. You know, I mean, the United States is saying, well, they're coming Wednesday. Oh, my bad. Beware, they're coming Friday. They got the satellites. Watch that shit. Micro millisecond. Mm-hmm. And anything you streamline is going to go through the web. Who runs the web? United States.
And throw this piece in there with that.
Google, Facebook runs the web. Not only does it
choke them on the web, the military machinery that they have. Remember, the Russians didn't learn in World War II when they were ill prepared for a war, and they were supplied by the United States. By a ship.
Real quick to that, they didn't learn from Afghanistan where they got it handed to them. So that was the most
you're talking about those antiquated tribal guys.
The guys with flip flops and no vests.
The Butch Lewis dressers. Yes.
I mean, cats, you know, who are not hooked on the poppy plant that got the other country hooked, right? They got poppy plants growing through Afghanistan like dandelions in the yard that's been warded in 400 years in the inner city, and they don't get hooked on it. But those other countries who visit do.
But yeah, just to see, truth be known, the Russians are getting their ass handed to them now.
Absolutely.
Like you wouldn't believe.
And they're running out of weaponry. They're running out of fuel. Their army's not that strong. I mean, the last time someone did a cell job, and I'm at the Air Force, right? And I served during the Cold War, right? I did NATO tac evaluations in England, right? And I'll tell you this. The last time someone hyped up this particular part of the world was when the Iraqi National Guard was literally 4,000, 50,000 troops in the desert bowing to their knees to 30 American soldiers. Giving it up. You've seen all those Iraq. Oh, the National Guard. I was like, my God, why are they hyping up these punks? Same thing with the Soviet Union. All that talk is bluster. That's why Biden's sitting there laughing. They're coming Tuesday. They're coming Thursday. Just literally. Oh, they got an amphibian group coming next week.
Oh, shit.
How are they able to see all this, man? It's that tech. It's that eye in the sky. You know, and then when they shut off all those oligarchies' money, because they got to move through the SWIFT system. SWIFT system runs through U.S. and NATO countries. That has not changed. Bankrupting them. Breaking them off. Sanctions? Okay, shit. Sanctions can send 20 generations into sitcom. There's nothing more lethal than a fucking financial sanction.
You know,
are you going to survive on Wheaties for 2 years?
Yep. Fred, you brought...
Cuba still drives 1950 cars, right?
Yep.
Cuba still drives cars in the Kennedy era.
Eric,
all right.
Hold on a sec. Because you brought up a great point.
Cool. I'm done.
Fred, in an area that's military dependent like where you are, how does this affect it all?
Well, on the front side, it's tough because a lot of military guys, if they're wise enough, don't work in the area, their wives leave, sometimes
taking
their kids. But
yes,
the other side of that is, and I'll give you a prime example. The railroad, to Fort Bragg goes about 400 or 500 yards from my house.
Okay.
That goes from once or twice a week to three or four times a day. Outer end. They, you know, and I think I mentioned this to you all before. They were talking about 3,000 troops or 3,500 troops being sent.
Yeah.
Those were the guys flying over on military aircraft. That had nothing to do with the ones that were flying over on charter flights. Had nothing to do with that 2.5, 3 mile long train with four or five locomotives that was loaded down with military equipment that went through the coast to be shipped out to be shipped out by ocean. Now, we take a brief hit when it comes to economics because, see, 3,500 soldiers who leave Fort Bragg at one time also take some civilian personnel with them to provide support and all that kind of stuff. So you're talking about 3,500. In round number, you got about 3,800 people who are leaving during this time.
All right.
Also, you know, that's what, 3,800 people who don't go to lunch on a given day for ever how long they're gone. But see, we have grown used to this, and we basically kind of make it work. Well, that is that side of it. But you have all these people who support the military that's also out there. And, you know, it's like right now, people are trying to figure out, well, how many troops are going to be on route? Well, you know, that's part of the price of doing war.
Mm-hmm.
And because of that, you take a hit. But at the same time, it rebounds.
Yeah, I mean, Fayetteville, you know, has a militaristic viewpoint, right? I mean, you know, there's the platoons there that are the combat platoons in Fayetteville, right? That's one of their fortresses there. But they're not just specific to, because what the thing is about the geographics, the United States has military bases all over the world. So they're not moving people stateside that often. They've got, I forgot the name of that unit there in Fayetteville that is, you know, militarized combat ready unit. They send them out all the time, right?
82nd Airborne Division.
There it is, 82nd Airborne. Thank you so much. And so 82nd Airborne, that's what they do.
Yeah, 3rd Brigade is see, 3rd Brigade has been gone for 10 months.
Right. And that's what they do, they bang. And so each base has a different mission. So NATO, there's still military bases in England, Germany, Italy, Spain. And then the NATO countries have loaded up already. And then you have the cruisers in the oceans that can come from Aviano, Italy, that can come from the Azores, that can come from certain that are already geographically in place. So not counting the fact that what's spooked this gentleman who runs that country is that, and this was put in under the Obama administration, they fly sorties, nuke-ready, along the borders of the Soviet Union for the last 3 years. They are literally surrounded, completely surrounded. Poland, all around the Ukraine, was like this last move to make because of the militarized faction to try to take some land. And all it's doing is just giving the greatest scouting report area on how they function militarily. The United States got the greatest scouting report of how they function and how much you tax troops. It takes armistice. It takes money to fund the weaponry. Where are you moving it? And plus, there's no air force. You see nothing about Russian in the air. As someone who's in the air, I mean, there's nothing, and nothing can contain not only the Israeli Air Force, the United States Air Force, those other NATO countries. It's a wrap, man. I mean, they don't want to bang, don't have to bang. You know, and so they don't have to. We're just going to just choke them out, and that's what's happening over there. So the thing is, it's like it's mythological, that strength. It isn't. You know, they can't muster. They don't have the means to finance us. So anyone who thought the United States was sleepwalking during the pandemic or getting weak, they're finding out a little bit differently. And then that's why when China was like, yo, homeboy thought China was riding with us. China said, shit, we got $1 zillion of business interest in America. We can't cross that Rubicon.
We got 40 ships waiting to be loaded.
We can't cross that Rubicon. Are you kidding me? I mean, we're not crossing that Rubicon, you know, and so it's just, I mean, so the clock ticks over there. So that's why I say it's mythological, the alleged strengths of these operations and these organizations. The United States can just run stealth bombers, undetected radar, and other tech from space weapons. You know what I mean? Trump put together a space force.
I've seen it.
You know what I mean? Put together a space force, you know? Mm-hmm. And speaking as a guy who had a top secret clearance and when I first entertained to see what was happening, you know, militarily, I said, shit, you know, Star Wars was a damn movie. What I'm seeing is 20 times above that level, tech-wise.
Well, you know, Eric, last Thursday, I think it was, they were talking about, one of our bases, because we have a major base for every military service. Four guys went down on a Osprey, one of the Marine Corps.
Yeah, I'm aware.
Okay, four guys got killed. Okay,
right.
All of a sudden, now we know that we have troops, 4,000 troops in Norway, who are going through winter training and other things.
Mm-hmm.
And they've been there,
yep.
And I quote,
yep.
And they've been there about 4 months. I remember they were talking about them. They were talking about them leaving. They were talking about them leaving. They held them up until right after Christmas when they took off. But they went do you know winter maneuvers with other NATO troops. And just so happened, the commander of all those troops is this guy who is from Camp Lejeune in North Carolina, near Jacksonville. And it just happened that they got 4,000 troops that were there in place before Putin pushed the button to go in. But, you know, the other day they had this two or three helicopters got shot down by shoulder armaments. I forget. We used to call
them. I mean, they've had whole convoys torched, man, and they've had their top generals getting picked off. The interesting thing when you have, you know, when someone asked me about Russia, Ukraine, I said, I'm staying out of white folks' business. Because the thing is, it's like, I'm staying out because in Africa, you know, Rwanda, the Hutus, the Tutsis, no one gave a fuck. But that's another story
for
another day. And so, you know, so I'm staying, so someone said, what do you think about this? I said, well, you know, I can weigh in, but I'm staying out of white folks' business. All right. And so the thing is, when you've got your top generals, they're losing generals left, right, and front, and center, you know, your brain trust, right, all day long. Now, no snipers, because they look Caucasian, don't mean they originate from there.
Come on.
They fit right in, don't they?
Well, yep, Eric, take it a step further. When is the last time you had generals being killed like this? Or captured.
That's my point. Well, now I'm aware. I'll tell you one thing, and I gotta stay on the patriotism tip, you know. And so I'm gonna walk this line. But when that general from Iraq, right, got killed, right, you know, a predator drone hit him, right, and he was one of the Iraq's major, you know, National Guard generals. They said he masterminded a lot of terrorist type of activity, right? He got killed, right? Iraq clapped back on the United States military base overseas at a level of precision and elite technology that defied man. I mean, they literally just went all in and just rocked the shit out of it. I believe it was Tikrit. I believe it was the base. And no one got killed from the Americans, but the post-traumatic stress and the psychological issue from what was in those armaments and what it caused people and the way they got rocked was such a sophisticated form of technology. That was the one time the United States has never answered back.
That's one for CNN. They didn't talk about that. Yes, indeed. All right.
They didn't answer back. And the thought process in general, I'm not a general. You know, they defined it. They said, well, I heard some guy say, well, you know, the guy who runs the show, he said, well, if someone got killed, you know, we would have answered back, you know, wholeheartedly. But the effects of the troops and the people survived it, most of them wish they may have probably had died based on the level of science loaded in that payload. And they rolled up fast. They were non-hesitant. They're like, okay, they killed one of our generals. Well, let's bang on this base. And they did. And they did it. Where, you know, no one died, fortunately, you know, no casualties, but, you know, it just kind of like there was no part two, you know. I mean, all right, you know, no one died. We got hit hard. We wasn't on U.S. soil. You know, it was a base. It was sovereign. And it just kind of just laid low. And, you know, so there's tech out there that is in the hands of certain countries or certain places that is, like, beyond anything you can imagine. The greatest science fiction movies are fucking cartoon compared to what really exists in today's world.
Yep. All right. That said, is it fair to say that the NFL is riding with NATO, not just in the celebration of the entertainment aspect of this, but in the overall agenda? Anyway.
I mean, the NFL is, like, in such a solid day place, man, financially, right? I mean, it's just... I mean, they're just saturated. I mean, anytime I like to weigh in on the sports media, the NFL, the players, the bucks in the field, the ones who are getting broken up. We get to lie in the sports media component of that. I seen a quote today that cracked me the fuck up. You know, it said Al Michaels is getting Joe Buck money. Now that is some funny shit.
So now, I haven't said that.
Money, something exorbitant, something over the top. I mean, he's getting more than any NFL player guy.
It's enough.
I guarantee
you
that. And I guarantee you Joe Buck's contract and Troy Aikman's contract will see fruition quicker than Patrick Mahomes or Russell Wilson's.
That's exactly right. Now, Tony.
So how about that component?
Tony, Connecticut is going to have a whole different view about sports gaming now that it's legal. What are you looking at and what are you expecting?
Well, they're going to, you know, unfortunately, this state sort of follows what
the next two states, the two states that sandwich them, what they do. More so probably New York than Massachusetts. But
yep.
Look, you can't go on 95 or 91 without seeing a casino ad. And I think Foxwoods is FanDuel, and
yep.
The other one is DraftKings. So they've strategically done well. See, now you got to remember, one headquarters is in New York, and the other headquarters is in Boston. So.
Yep.
It was just a matter of, you know, once basically New York, you know, well, actually Connecticut actually did it first. But this was one of the few times where actually Connecticut sort of, where New York actually sort of waited on Connecticut of all things, which never happens. So, but no, it's, I mean, basically what's going to, let's put it this way. I want to say right now there are 30 states that have professional and college gambling.
Yeah,
I would say by the time opening night for the NFL, I'm gonna say maybe 40, possibly 45.
California, I'm gonna do it right now.
Well, then, but see, they don't see they can afford to,
yeah,
they can
I mean,
afford
I mean,
to Cal's wait.
Not messing with DraftKings. You can't, you know, you
but,
can't play
but
the see, best
you,
on those things.
No, but you
they
can't
can
bet in Jersey though. You can't bet on teams in Jersey. College.
Oh, no,
all
no,
about
no.
Football.
You have to be living in Jersey to bet there. You can't be living
yeah.
in. You have to, yeah. You have to live in the state. That's the only real stipulation.
But you can't bet on the Jersey.
Can I have your address, Mike? Hey, Mike, can I have your address so I can place a bet, man, in Jersey?
Yeah.
For real.
Hey, but Mike, if you got schools like in the Sweet 16 in Jersey, you can't bet those schools. Mm. You can't bet on
right
in Jersey, right?
Right now.
No. That's it.
Yeah. That's
I mean,
like Las
I mean,
Vegas.
I mean, DraftKings is wrapping up without a 50-state consensus. Not all, you know, DraftKings, these others, you know, Cali, they're not in. You know what I'm saying? So there's other states, and Cali's a
but
huge
California
state,
can
so,
afford
you know,
to wait.
It's not
That's
in.
The thing.
Mm-hmm.
California can afford to wait so they can get the best deal for themselves.
Now, what Cali has just—they just shoot to Vegas and they cross the line in Tahoe, right?
Mm-hmm.
You know where
That's
you can
right.
place bets, you know. And Reno's
yeah.
right down the street, you know, from SAC. So you know that, I mean, that's what people
truth.
Do. I know cats go up there every Sunday to place bets.
That's right.
In Reno,
here's some truth, Reggie.
Mm-hmm.
When St. Peter's won their game and beat Kentucky, almost 30% of all the brackets were dead. Literally, you talk about all the numbers that were bet, whether they were casual bet or casino bet. That's a gross national product that's bigger than most Caribbean countries. That was a lot of cash that went out the door when St. Peter's won their game.
Well, there's nothing that's better than seeing John Calipari and Bruce Pearl out the tournament. You know, I mean, shit, they already
yeah.
placed their bets. They might as well. They already got broken off on the games they lost.
Come
that's
on.
Another story.
That's right.
I see Kentucky was offering Calipari a buyout somewhere. I'm like, shit, people can smell cigar ash.
Mm-hmm.
All right.
And he'll resurface somewhere else.
At Memphis, you know, I'm in Massachusetts, you know, things of that sort. I mean, Bruce Pearl, like I said, I mean, that scumbucket, man, that shit. I mean, you know, I mean, you know, the whole thing is a farce. Good for Shaheen, though. Good for Shaheen Holloway. Upset the apple cart, bro. Good job.
Mm-hmm. But how scummy could they be if they keep coming back? So this is what the NCAA has
hey, man, part of the network, Mike. You know, part of the network, man, a Penn State redo in a different way.
That's
the
right.
network.
Mm-hmm.
If you loop into the network, you always juiced in.
Yeah.
You know?
There's some truth
I mean,
to that.
Once you're juiced in, you're juiced in.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, you already got your button, man. Right? You know where the bodies are buried. You're one of the good fellas, man. You took the blood oath.
Mm-hmm.
As much money has been made now, just imagine how much money is going to be made next year. And Gary,
so who's making the money? Who's making the money? Who's making the money, though?
The
casinos, the house, right? Yes. The house is making the money, right?
The house is making
the
money.
That's right. And clarity for the people out
there. And Mike, you got to remember, this year's tournament's not over yet, so.
That's right. Mm-hmm. Come on.
I'm just trying to make a point.
It's
almost beyond imagining just how much money they're putting up.
Hey, Michael.
Yeah.
At this door, you have windows at the edge of the stadium where you can place your bet in the stadium.
That's right.
Yeah.
But Mike, did you read
the Washington Post where Washington Post says?
Right?
Yeah, but did you see the where Budweiser has pulled out of the Washington football team? Now Budweiser is a big time sponsor. Now that's major. Mm-hmm. Now I don't know if it's because of Daniel Snyder's problems he had, but for Budweiser to pull out something—that's an untold story that nobody's not talking about.
That's a big deal.
But Reg, to coin a old white simple answer to that, Reg. Simple answer that real quick, Reg. No return on investment.
Budweiser, the way they suck that beer up at the stadium, come on, man.
I mean, yeah, but you know, I mean, no return on investment. There's some people that are just going to be able to sell no matter what, and that's one of them. And maybe they just don't like the deal any longer. He didn't cut the right deal. Got a little greedy.
Okay, question. Budweiser is an NFL in all stadiums. Now, how come this one area decided to pull out of one team?
Hey, man.
Something not right here.
The people who run a company as like Budweiser, as long as they have, and as successful as they've been, and the product they get, they're not stupid.
Okay, if Budweiser is a beer of the NFL, don't you have to go through the NFL in order to cut some deals or something?
Individual contracts, man. Each one of these franchises.
Okay,
are
cool. Okay.
Yeah, all of them.
And also, two other words: Anheuser-Busch.
Yep.
Trust.
Yeah,
there's enough of them around.
I guess Miller
you know,
or Heineken will be coming in there.
Oh, sure.
Yeah, so a team, there's flagship franchises in every league, right? And
yep.
There's the money makers. Like New York and the Jets and the Giants share the same stadium. The Giants are the flagship as far as those teams are concerned. The Giants have the independence to negotiate their own deal under the NFL umbrella. So they're under their umbrella, but they're like an independent franchise. You know, just like a guy owns a Shell gas station in Cali, he can sell fried chicken out of it, where another one may sell tacos, because that's what the franchise does. But they get their fuel supplies, their marketing, their branding, all this topical stuff from the corporate entity, which is the NBA or the NFL. So these are individual contracts they negotiate. So if they cut a deal with, you know, Old English 800, Gary, stop licking your lips over there in Oakland, bro. Gary's more of a Heffenreffer guy
from what I remember.
I'm sorry, G. You are more refined.
Yes, and put some respect on his name.
Man.
Put some respect on Gary's name.
So if Wild Irish Rose and, you know, Mad Dog 2020
want to cut a deal with
the Indiana Pacers, they can.
Right. Gary, go drink some water. Gary, go drink some water.
Basically, in a nutshell, okay, what is it? 32 NFL teams. So they've got 31 other. You know, they've turned themselves into the Baskin Robbins of beer. They only do 31. They only do 31 teams now.
I mean, maybe they can recruit Billy D. Williams with some of that Schlitz.
I think maybe Patrick can speak on this since he's got the OE confession. Patrick, can you hear us?
Let guys. How you doing?
Good. What's up, Baker Mayfield? You found a job yet, Baker Mayfield?
Nope.
I'm sorry. Nope. I'm sorry. I couldn't resist. I'm sorry.
Patrick, I know this hits you where you live because Cleveland is where this epicenter of all this cash is being laid out. So can you please tell us, in plain terms, how much money did Cleveland invest in the Super Bowl?
As my grandmama said, a whole lot of money. it's about $253 million, man. I was shocked to what happened. Matter of fact, I called Michael last Friday when it happened. Going, Mike, wake up, bro. You hear what happened? He said, "What? What?" Well, going through a litany of stuff over the last couple of days, you know, without going through a long, drawn-out conversation, I will say this. Two things happened. I found out that the heat inside the building on Baker Mayfield got too hot, and he initiated a lot of it, unfortunately. The rumors about the rumors were that he wanted, well, he had the ceiling. If you ask him, you know, and quite naturally, he has a point. Since coming to the Browns, his record is 29 wins and 30 losses. That's better, and one playoff win, and that's better than all the 32 quarterbacks we've had since 1999. There's no doubt about that.
That's Tim Couch is saying, hell no.
So last year, when he didn't get the extension, okay, all right, let's see what's happening. But not getting that extension was a signal that maybe we should be looking. And from his mindset, and I can understand from his mindset, I've come in here and changed the franchise, you know, I should be paid. However, you know, and everybody probably knows, that there's a ceiling that he has. He's good, but is he good enough to take it to the next level?
No.
And I've been saying for the last 3 or 4 years, he's good, but I ain't paying him no $35-40 million.
Sometimes you're just too little.
Here's the other part. And here's the damage control. And really damage control. And that really comes down to it. There was a section of people in Cleveland that loved this boy. I'm telling you, they love that boy because he is like them, and that's a marketable. That's the marketing aspect that they can't deny. However, the biggest issue for the Browns and Sam Haslam and the group says we want to win, and they want to win because in that same division, they got Jackson, Joe Burrow, and they got to deal with that. And they know that Baker can't compete with them Jackson. And they made a decision.
And Patrick, you forgot about that budding superstar, Mr. Trubisky.
We got
about him. Say the Brown.
But the bottom line is this, and after all I've read and got talked to people this week, his was similar. And know who said it best? And he came out and said two things that they're going to hinge on. They got a guy that had 22 incidents of sexual misconduct. And you pay him the most money in any quarterback ever. That's the crux of what a lot of people don't like. Now, how do you get over that? By winning. But, brother, there's more to scrum about that than anything else. Guys, we know that.
In the right belt like Ohio, that's not a popular topic in Ohio.
And guess what? You know what you're really saying? How you going to give that nigga all this money?
That's right.
In there.
Come on.
Oh, absolutely.
That's right. That's the real
Michael
story.
Vick
what they gonna do?
Got literally terminated and unprotected behind the dogfighting thing. You think them referees, when they, you know, get a nice shot at Deshaun, going to throw that flag?
Brother, please.
All right.
Brother, please.
All right.
You see what I said.
We already
you
know.
What I said. So, again, there's just I talked to Matt, I talked to a guy on Monday evening, and I know a report I know well. All he said, Patrick, there's more to come. What? There's more to come.
Ah.
Okay.
Well, yeah, it's, you know, people forget. We're still in the early stages of free agency
alive,
and all the other stuff.
Alive.
Yeah.
I mean, it's still alive. It's still alive.
And the Oakland Raiders and the New York Giants, what they done? Absolutely nothing.
What's next for Baker, Patrick?
Huh?
What's next for Baker, Patrick?
He killed his chances to go to Indianapolis real quickly. That's the thing that's intriguing. You know, there's two things that happen. First of all, they don't want to get rid of him because they say Pittsburgh could go after him.
Come on.
That could be possible. But you know something?
Yes.
Word I got from yesterday, and you'll hear about this. I hate to say it, and it kills me to say it. But you know something? That boy from Liberty, Willis.
Yeah.
They're going pirate. Steelers are after him like white on rice.
Not surprised.
That's
their guy. You are correct. Ooh, that's their guy.
Lord. Mm-hmm. And if they get him, we better have Deshaun Watson. You know. But and so what basically what you're saying there, here's what I'm saying.
Patrick, who you say trying to get the kid from Liberty? Who going after him?
The Steelers.
Steelers.
Patrick, can you ask me one question? That young man Haskins. What the ham sounds wrong with the boy?
He got too much too soon.
That's a great answer.
Because
Mike Tomlin can't straighten his ass out, ain't nobody can straighten him.
He got too much.
Too soon. He wouldn't be the first to get too much too soon.
Patrick's right.
Thank you.
You know, you got. I mean,
you got that right. There's been free agents who didn't get drafted who got too much
that's
too soon.
Right.
Thank you.
Come on now. Now hold. Just think about Tyreek Hill.
Shit.
Tyreek Hill played six seasons. He was All Pro just about every season. He's only 28 years old, and now he's getting $72 million guaranteed.
According to the Mad Dog, they're just a couple of bucks. They ain't no real money. According to the Mad Dog,
I'm saying you could take Juju's and his mama. He could take Juju and his mama. Ain't Tyreek Hill, bro. But
come on,
they had a deal similar to that, but they messed around and did the Adams. What? Waiting? Miami Jumper said, here's $102 million, $72 million guaranteed. Bye.
That's right.
Come on, man.
Tyreek's
got the ring, man. There's nothing to hold him there. And plus,
that's true.
Became a one-trick pony, man, with that 2-deep drop. They wiped out the bomb. Everything's underneath now for them. You know what I'm saying?
True.
Tyreek was liquidated. The only thing that's going to happen to Miami, he's going to learn he's going to be able to outrun Tua Tagovailoa's arm. Doing a lot
that's
of underthrows.
That's the issue. And frankly, McCole Hartman's faster than Hill. They haven't said it out loud because he's not running the same routes. But you'll find out when Mahomes is under center that Hartman's faster than Hill. And we've seen Hill kick some ass speed-wise. But don't be surprised. The cupboard is not empty. McCole Hartman, just like Judy and Denver, should blossom in the offenses of Russell Wilson and Patrick Mahomes.
I did hear one thing Peter King said that I thought was kind of crazy. He said that the fact that Tyreek is in Miami, they'll find more creative ways to get him loose. So wait a minute. More creative ways to get him loose? You mean more than the two guys that had him before?
Yeah,
you?
I mean that's a shot at being enemy. You know, that's a shot at being enemy. That's a shot at being enemy.
You know,
the enemy must have played him off and shit at an interview or gave him the finger when he asked him how Jimmy can get a head coaching job. So he got his shot in.
You know he did.
Yes, you know what I'm saying? He got his shot in, you know. Retaliatory media bullshit. Exactly.
Yes,
come on. We can read that move from anywhere. And in other words, Urban Meyer, when he was the head coach, did not know who Aaron Donald was. He said, who's this 99? Mm-hmm. He's a good player.
Yeah. Thank you.
Yeah.
And everybody that I know, particularly Chris Carter, who is very close with Matt, they're in business together, told him, don't take the job. But see what Aaron says to you?
Mm-hmm. Money, man. That money, you know what I mean? You know, sing. So if you get clipped, you still walk with that check, right? Because you got some guaranteed contracts. So you're still getting broken off.
Their legacy's
fucked, but you're getting the money, right?
Well, ask
Russell Simmons how that works out. Whoops, my bad.
No joke. Patrick. So now with the running game they have, the decent receivers they still have, the O-line, how has this reflected Vegas? How have the odds changed on the Browns getting to the Super Bowl?
I said there's more to come. I'll give you one prospect more to come.
Okay.
Guy named Odell Beckham. Odell Beckham thinking about coming back.
Oh, shit.
That's
Miss Christie coming back?
But Mike, you're the quarterback whisperer, man. You know, I mean, you break it down really well. Mike's nice with the quarterback analysis, man. And so the thing is, it's like the dude took a year off and had a lot of psychological bullshit. Is he the same player, man? We have not seen him throw the rock in a year.
Yeah.
But we see more rock, man. To be determined.
We've seen one rock taken off his back.
We've seen
one rock taken off his back, and that rock was Rusty Harden, his lawyer, took 22 cases out of his psyche and out of his pocket. All of those cases, all those sex cases have been rendered null and void. Otherwise, there's no way he could have put his John Henry on $230 million. So, all good for Deshaun Watson. Too bad for those girls. Even if some of them make some money in the civil suit, it ain't going to stop him
from
getting paid.
They're out, man. They're fucking out.
That's what this is all about.
And Mike, this is what I said in the beginning. I am not denying that something could have happened. But ain't it funny, and it happened as soon as he wanted to get treated?
Listen.
I will share this. A black man, young black man, balling out of control, successful, highly successful, national champion, you know, Pro Bowl quarterback, making good money. If he went 0-22 against the case, you ain't got to hear Keith Sweat seeing something just ain't right to realize that's what some bullshit.
For real. But you know what? There's an unsung hero in all this. And that's Andre Johnson. Andre Johnson was a good soldier for the Houston Texans for a good decade. He was their best player. Unlike Calvin Johnson being Megatron, he was Soundwave. He was the guy who, he didn't make any noise, but he did damage every time he went out on the field. So now Andre came out of nowhere and said, don't pay attention to these guys. The Houston Texans brain trust, they're full of shit. Don't pay no mind what they say. And watch and listen. And because he did, he got broken off. Because all he wanted initially was for them to listen to him when they were looking for talent. Now, people normally don't have a say in that most times because the organization figures they know more than anybody. Even the people that don't know feel they more know than anybody. And they don't want anybody coming in there thinking for a minute that, you should have a stake in this. You know, as far as we know, you're the help. You're high price help, but you're the help.
Hey, Mike, remember, their late owner,
who is probably roasting on an open fire somewhere in Haiti, was the same guy. Remember, this was the same guy that when they had the lockout saying the inmates are running to prison.
Come on,
so
that's right.
They, you know,
and
they showed they showed their hand from day one.
Lawsuit as a solutionist.
Sure. Yes, they did.
Right.
Mm-hmm.
You know, he was a collusion artist as well. And he already had a lot of funny style comments. Anyway, even though he had a black GM, that was that dude Smith.
Come
that
on,
was there
yeah.
For mm-hmm. years mm-hmm. and shit, you know. And so the thing is like, you know, my thing with Deshaun is just like anything else, man. Okay, you got to ball out, man. Are you the same player
yep.
or are you better, man? And that 1 year, the crispness, the time, and the reaction. Was it good enough to survive? Can you play? What's the
yes.
system? All that's to be determined. And with the money
well,
they're making them, everything is leaning right now. Again, I got trust in the brother, but everything is leaning right now to set up to fail as another condition.
Yep.
I'll say this.
Yes. Yes.
The timing that they got him, because you got to know that literally 2 minutes after they got him, they said, here's the playbook. Catch you in whatever minicamp is. Also,
right.
the precedent was set with Mike Vick, because Mike Vick was basically out over 2.5 years and didn't miss a beat.
This beat,
guy,
though, man.
This
you
guy,
know, Vick's DNA and genetic game was on a whole other level. Vick walked
but I'm
into
just
the
saying,
can like he was
but I'm,
walking into,
I get,
Vick,
I,
you know,
I get that.
He walked into the can like he was walking into the corner store. You know what I'm saying?
I get that.
But here's the thing.
Watson's younger.
I'm listening. That's true.
Mm-hmm. Watson's younger. And remember,
that's what I want to hear.
Mike had missed a year previously when he was with Atlanta with the knee. Remember,
right.
Watson for the most part has been injury free. Nothing major. If nothing else, the year off may have given his body a chance to heal a little bit, and then it just becomes a thing of getting down your timing with your receivers.
I'm not going to say they're going to the Super Bowl.
All I'm saying is.
Okay, let's keep building the brother up. Let's keep building what the expectations are then. I'm with all that. So let's keep doing the preparatory work. So with that being said, Patrick, cold weather stadium. You know what I'm saying? He played in Clemson, played in the Dome in Houston. What's the difference?
Mm-hmm. A running game? Yep.
And they got a running game.
Not just a running game, a very good running game. Nick Chubb.
And they got back.
And the other kid was the third string guy.
They got dogs back there, that's right. And just to make this clear,
they were so envious. Not sorry, I mean to cut you off, Patrick. They were so envious of Mike Vick that ESPN, the magazine, made him a white man just as a premise to show what it was like. That's
where's
what envious
Godfrey
they
Kansas
was.
When you need him.
And after that season, when he and Brady were the best quarterbacks in the league, they deliberately left him off the second team because – he fucked with Lassie. You know damn well they're going to be envious. And if Watson don't know shit from Shinola, his black ass will be in trouble regardless of how much money he's making.
Well, Mike, put it this way. You know that at some point you're going to have like the NOW and a lot of these, you know, all of a sudden they're going to whatever. Because see, here's the deal. There's just as much racism that goes on within those groups. Because see, where was all the outrage with Anita Hill, with some of the
Thank
other
you.
Sisters that have gone through whatever?
But they're very quick to see.
When it's black on black, they're very quick to turn the other way. When it's black on white, all of a sudden, they have an agenda. I'm just saying.
I'm not denying the seriousness of the allegations. But the guys got to be careful. Because you know why? There's another suit that's hanging out that's even more dangerous than that one.
That is a guy named John Gruden. Because if this nigga has problems with the 22 women,
come on,
they want to hide that information about what Gruden knows, what the other guys in the league has done, will bust this thing wide open.
And Patrick, remember, originally Ray Rice only got 3 games. Remember,
that's right.
They went after public backlash. All of a sudden, it was like, well, we're gonna try him again.
Whatever.
See, that's the thing. To me, that might be more of the thing that I would worry about with Watson, where they will all of a sudden say, well, if there's public backlash, we got to do something.
The NFL has not ruled, right, with the so-called personal conduct clause.
No,
so, right now, the NFL is just finishing their sandwich, basically, right now.
Yep.
All
right. Mm-hmm. That's right.
Because
Cleveland was smart enough to get Jacoby Brissett just in case there's a short-term situation that needs to be handled. They're strong. They're Trump-tided quarterback, which is what they needed, just like Denver's Trump-tided quarterback. Games between Denver, San Diego, everybody in the AFC West and the AFC North, they're going to have field days with the matchups. There should be nothing but AFC games on all the primetime games on Sundays and Monday. No joke.
Zach
Wilson agrees with you. The matchups are too luxurious. They're going to gaga over them. The action is going to be humongous.
But quick question, Mike. When the first injury come in, does Baker Mayfield get a phone call? Because somebody going to get hurt.
Well, it depends on where he goes, though. It depends.
Like,
you see, right now, he's
football
giant. He is a white Jamaican because he's in limbo.
Is that European or Irish or European Jamaican? Which one?
He thought he was going to Indianapolis, but Matt Ryan went there first. And Matt Ryan ain't shit. He can't go to Washington because
Carson
Wentz is there.
You didn't say it with gusto, Mike. Thank you. Say it with gusto. Roll off your tongue, son.
With all due respect, as bad as Matt Ryan is, he's not even worthy of being being without shit. You know, he's not even worthy of that.
Well, that's a lot for the great.
When that horseshoe keeps kicking his ass, he's going to know it then.
You know that's right.
But then again, he does have a drug addict owner. The owner gives him his drugs. He'll be all right.
Yeah.
Did you ever find out the chick that was found dead in his apartment?
Say what?
Mm-hmm.
The chick that was dead in his apartment. Did you ever find out what happened?
They find out what?
Yeah. Ursay, the chick that was in the apartment that he was partying that would end up dead. Never found out what happened to her, did they?
They never found out. Guys, that's the whole point.
Money buys secrets.
You think the Jones Watson lawyers who got out of being criminally charged, you think they ain't got nothing in that briefcase to say, if you're going to deal with this? That's why I'm saying that group thing is more dangerous than the 22 women.
That's why Daniel Snyder ass is still hanging in there. Daniel Snyder, like my man, don't nobody know nothing. Don't nobody know
nothing. There you
nothing.
Go.
Daniel Snyder.
If you accuse somebody, right, in search of the happy ending rubdown, right?
Oh, Lord. Now, why you had to bring New England owner in and involved, man? New England owner online, too.
Well,
I apologize, sir. We have to prove, in spite of these contracts. Afterwards, if you schedule appointments with said people, and they provide said purposes, all right, it's a dead case, because this is what you do.
In more ways than one. It's a dead case.
Right.
I have to say,
Eric, in terms of the money that has been laid out by Cleveland, by Kansas City, for everyone throughout this free agent period, I have to say crime does not pay much.
What? Donald Trump on line two, Mike. Donald Trump on line two.
Somewhere Lawrence Taylor in his playing days is leaving an interesting location to go play on Sunday, and he agrees with you.
You got that right.
Well, either he's sending some hookers up to the opposing locker room and let them wear them down.
After seeing the interview I've seen recently, he was talking about Marv Hubbard, who liked to have cold medicine before games.
Oh, Lord.
We called it cold medicine. Marv Hubbard called it amphetamines.
That's right, purple drain. Purple
Johnny
drain.
Sample called it uppers. Zini, poppers, they called it uppers back then.
But there's one more case that has to be settled. And I don't know when that's going to happen, but...
Oh, no.
Somebody going to jail.
I can't wait to hear the language this time. What new word, Gary, will we learn in the vocabulary this time?
If it pleases the motherfucking court, I charge Baker Mayfield with gross incompetence, felony charges with impersonating the quarterback, high degrees of skullduggery, dumbfuckery, and assholery, and I find this motherfucker guilty. Guilty.
Don't forget the commercials. Sign up for the commercials. Hey, Mike, sign up for the commercials. Don't get those commercials.
Yo. Oh, Mike, he's getting the chair for those commercials. He's getting the chair for those commercials.
I'm not giving them look. I'm not just giving them jet. I'm giving this motherfucker life for his transgressions.
And guys, that progressive check is long.
Put it this way. When he got home, even Jake from State Farm told him to go fuck himself. That's how bad it is.
That's right. There you go.
Damn.
Ain't no doubt about that shit.
Hey, and guys, I'm gonna add this one more caveat about watching them. Let me be as real as sure as I am black. You think some redneck from Tennessee, whose brother's a former governor of Tennessee, going to spend $253 million on a nigga, and they ain't sure they can get some of that money back?
Mm-hmm.
Mm-hmm. Sure. Oh, it's not over. He's gonna go through the same kind of stuff that Vic did, and everything. You know, Adrian Peterson, all of that.
Game.
They're gonna get. Mm-hmm. He's gonna go through all of that. That's the real. Where he don't care about what these people think. I'm gonna invest that
that's
money and get that Super Bowl because whatever we put him through, whatever money we put out, we're gonna make it four or five times over in the end run.
Damn right.
Yeah.
Sure, of course. I mean, yeah, absolutely. I mean, the house wins again.
Remember, Cleveland sold all of their, not that they had that many to begin with, but they sold all their home tickets.
There was nothing left. Cleveland, great fan base, you know, great fan base, consistent fan go. I mean, they stirred the pot a little bit. I'm just worried about. I mean, Watson. I mean, is it TBD? Because we'll get a look, man. Because the thing that that mental psyche, man. Some cats are just cats like Ali take 3 years off, man. You know, some dude like Vic, man. They dogs, bro. They built on some different shit.
Mm-hmm.
When you've been scouting long enough, the first thing you look for is that inner quality, because you can coach them up skill wise. Talent, the ability. You know you can coach him up, right? Because the thing is,
when you
scout people, a guy like, again, I ain't trying to get off course here, but a dude like Bird, man, now he's a great basketball player, but he's not a great athlete.
Mm-hmm.
And so I'll take the great athlete like a dude Wilkins, right, and we'll coach him up. And see, that's what made Jordan, and again, not to ride his bandwagon, because he had all the athletic, physical gifts, but he also had the fundamentals. He could play hurt. He could play with a fucking injured ankle. You know what I'm saying? Because his fundamentals is so friggin' airtight. You number. Well, I mean, he plays the defensive lanes. I mean, shit people don't talk about. I would watch Duke play off-ball defense, the way he played the passing lanes, the way he played with defender. I mean, he was always a step ahead with his fundamentals. I loved his fundamental game more than all the highlight Air Jordan shit, which was just was the flair. Mm-hmm. But his fundamentals was no joke.
And Eric, you know something? You know as well as I do. That's the problem with 90% of these young ball players now. They think the athleticism is the cream of the crop, and it's not.
And you know what, though? In rareness, they are freaky-ass, you know, over-the-top, you know, talented, man. The moment I seen Rudy Gay double pump backwards on Yishan Lin, that Chinese dude that didn't cut in the league, in the Vegas Summer League, and rode him three feet backwards and double pump backwards on him because he thought he was a chump. And Rudy ain't never been an all-star. That's the level of talent in the NBA. It's that over-the-top, right? For guys who are never all-stars, right? NFL TVs, man, they close fast as shit. And some of these guys, I watch them close out on plays, and they've never been a Pro Bowler.
Wait, I'm going to give a perfect example right here in the local area. Zach Wilson. It was driving Zach Wilson crazy. These niggas are that fast up here?
Yeah. I remember when Reggie Bush got blown up. I don't know who he played when he was with the Saints, right? He caught a flare, and they always
Philadelphia Eagles playoff game. Philadelphia Eagles playoff game. I remember. Yeah.
Yes. Now I watched Reggie at SC. You would have thought Reggie was going to go to the NFL and get 12 yards a touch, no matter where he was on the field when he was
at
SC, right?
Mm-hmm.
Right. And the problem they talked about Reggie, good dude, all that, you know, cool brother. But the way they talked about Reggie was like he tried to break everything for the breakoff play like he did at SC. You know,
starts
at the 1 yard line, twist 12 yards. Next thing, 98 yards later, he's touching, you know, he's pick six in the house. In the league, he was finding out fucking special teamers called up because the dude in front of him got hit, blowing him the fuck up. Like, outside.
100%. Eric, 100% right, and no same else he wasn't expecting. When he got hit, it's harder than he thought he ever got hit.
Exactly. So these dudes, that combine shit, you know, we can talk about that forever, but those speed factors are measurables, man. And they
got
guys running 4.243 flats. I mean, you know, that's Ruggles' dude, unfortunately, with the Raiders, man. The way he got behind that Jet defender, he's still trying to figure out how he got behind him. The skill sets and the NBA's like that, man. And, you know, the drop-off between a G League player, a European League player, and a guy in the league who may not get any run, you go watch a practice. I've seen some cat, like this kid at Portland. I think he was in a slam dunk contest. Well, look at Derrick Gordon, right, that played at the got ripped off in the slam dunk contest from Orlando.
Yes.
He got fucking just totally gutted, ripped off. Now, no, he's never been an all-star. Did you see the shit he was pulling off? All right. 1% of the planet can do that dunk. At that height and that size and that weight,
I'm gonna tell you. We're not gonna talk about it tonight, but I'll get back with you. I got some research and some marketing research on the Overwatch League of the young high school boys. Guys, the stupid money they're about to make is unreal.
Yeah, it is.
We ain't saying about if they read to the NBA. But by itself, the money they're about to get is, as a league, not individually, is stupid. I'm going, what the hell is going on?
It is. Yeah. And, I mean, you know, and like I said, man, the talent level, man, I'm seeing some cats coming up, you know, who, you know, ninth grade. Even some of the chicks, man, you know, banging ducks in traffic and shit. You know what I mean? And the women, you know. And so the thing is, it's like the talent's not that good, but they're still not that 1% crowd.
That's true.
That's right.
True. That's,
and
right.
See,
that's true.
That's the difference, man. And so Vic, it was that 1%er of what he could pull off, right? We know him when we see him. You know what I'm saying?
Indeed.
I'm just saying with Deshaun, he's nice. He's a really tight quarterback. You know, it's a wait and see. I mean, Russell got that dog. You know, I just want to check out because he's been through a lot of shit. I really hope it works out well for him. But the thing is, man, is that TBD for me.
And guess what? The reason I'm betting on them, when you're going to have to pick
like
civil suits.
I like everything y'all saying. And everyone weighing in here, T-Mac, you know, Mike, yourself, you know, Patrick, Reg, I mean, I take you at your word, you know what I mean? Because mm-hmm. I think that by sharing this kind of intel and putting it out there, at least we as, you know, elders, you know, those who've been around, can get some prep mm-hmm. work and say, bro, yo, we riding with you, but think about these things.
We definitely have to think about it. We started with money.
Let's take another factor that is going to the pens and the typewriters of individuals. You get more money than Aaron Rodgers.
That's right. Now you got to remember. Well, this is the thing that really sticks in the craw. No matter how many commercials they make starring Baker Mayfield, even Baker Mayfield knows on his best day he can't grab Deshaun Watson's left nut. He just simply ain't that good. And that's the same
league.
There are black players that they know are far better. They are that 1%. They're the ones that they would turn white on magazine covers because they have nothing white to compare them with. Believe me, this is a stay-tuned situation, and I remember here locally seeing Ryan Howard help the Phillies in their racist ass win a national mm-hmm. title. And then as soon as he got
next
hurt, do you see what that nigga did? We spent too much money on him. So trust me, this is the big
thing.
Don't get hurt, man. Terrell Owens, Fredo Cinco lit a cigar on that one.
Mm-hmm. But see, that factor has been there, whether it was Jack Johnson, Jim Brown, it was Willie Mays, or Wilt Chamberlain, all of that. That's never changed. I think in this instance, when you consider that basically he was the friggin' Houston Texans franchise in that instance. So when we consider how racist that town can be. He was able to survive all the slings and arrows of that, and also
he came out of Clemson, though, right?
Clemson's still
riding all the way with the hominy group on
way.
Sunday. The dynasty still kind of split.
Mm-hmm.
Put
it this way: their colors may be orange and white. But they're red, but their neck has been red for years.
He went down there and balled out and shit, you know.
Yeah.
And so I just wanted to place the plateau because, you know, the numbers work, but, you know, the brothers that weigh in with the years of experience, man, lay down some, you know, realms of experience, some information. Because the information we talk about filters out. And it's respected that the brothers start like saying, yo, man, we riding with you, man, but prep here, man. What do you got to do to go through this thing? You know, you got to represent and man up because, again, these things have happened in the past and guys have pushed through it. Counting on you to do it, man. Don't let the money soften.
Exactly. I think also his background has a lot to do with it, too. No, he comes from Georgia.
I'm with all of it, man. I want to see the brothers succeed. I just knew a cat like Vic, man. When I watched him take that case and walk into the can and walk out the same way, practically the same.
When he came back on the field against the Giants,
That Monday night game, that 500-yard game he did against the so-called Washington football team at the time.
He had Steve Young babbling about how good he was. And then the comeback victory against the Giants with Deshaun scoring the touchdown on the punt return.
I was right there.
Everybody
the
lost their buddy Beverly Blinken mind. The look on this one white fan said it all. He was like, this black motherfucker.
And he's on the game. Go ahead, bro. I'm sorry.
Even though Tomlin won a Super Bowl. That still is a Tomlin's crawl that he won that game in that factor on the
you
punt.
You know it.
I was there in the locker room afterwards. I'm telling you.
You could see his face.
They said he was sitting in the dark.
I mean, his cast has just got it like that, man. And I'm just, I mean, mm-hmm. I just want to see if Deshaun can represent that, because when they take a year out of you like that, you got to come back like blazing.
Yes, that's right.
All right. You got to come back like FUMFers. If you want the chip, whatever it may be, you got to bring that kind of level of staccato when you roll out. Fucking Kobe had a rape case over his head. Busting them was flying them out of L.A. on a charter plane to go get a flight to deal with his lawsuit. And then you have to go back that evening and hoop up, and he'd give you 30.
That's right.
Yeah. You know what I'm saying? He's 30, and he's under duress. His household's fucked. He's dealing with all this bullshit, and he's got to go out there and ball out, and the fans are all, you know, they Kobe fans, and he's got to go give it up. And he's not
in
all the one course with it, but he gave it up because he was built like
incomparable. They can't touch it. They can't touch it, no matter how. They'll be envious of it.
And so my thing is, we've got examples of dudes built like that. I never worried about Bryant and how he would handle that, because I know I was built his thought process, what he put into it.
True.
You know what I'm saying? And, you know, and that was the serious one, man. His life was on the effing line.
Guys, Patrick.
And especially with buying that ring for his wife, what was it? How it goes? $7 million.
Well, Kobe's going to do what he did. But you know, the thing is, it's like, you know, he had this serious come to whatever you want to call it moment. There's a lot of other factors played within that, but he still had to get out there and grab that jersey.
Yep, yes, he did.
He grabbed that jersey, man.
Wait, and he did, too.
He grabbed that jersey under all that effing duress and trying to break him off, and he was under it, man. You know, personally, emotionally, all those things like that, and he gave
those
it
are the
up.
Things,
you know what I'm saying?
Those are the things that we need, every part of society. That X factor that they can't bottle, can't create, can't destroy. It's ours. It's our exclusive property, and only certain mindsets can handle that. And with that, I got to go to final thoughts. We could do at least another hour on all this, but I love what the brothers always give. And I want to give a shout-out to D. Orlando Ledbetter for coming in top and setting things off. Right now, Reggie, give us some love and something to think about.
Well, gentlemen, great dialogue as always. I'd like to thank the deacons for the sense of justice to bring in information to the masses, and we know that they're listening, so here we go again. Luke Williams and a plethora of black media knew months ago that it's being documented now that Deion Sanders had two toes amputated while he was in the hospital. But, you know, we heard other people say other things about, you know, what was going on in the hospital. It's interesting that we talk about how the media likes to paint their own story. Case in point, when Mad Dog goes off today and trying to downplay Bubba Chuck, a.k.a. Allen Iverson.
Mm-hmm.
Sometimes we have people want to bloviate like Stephen A. Smith, and it's really sad because it really misses the point. We got people holding athletes on a higher level than a treasonous individual. They're talking about Putin being a great leader, a.k.a. 45.
Come on.
And then don't get me started where we had Corey, a certain senator, Corey from New Jersey, is crying now because he see what's happening with the Supreme Court nominee. And we have certain individuals that are telling her, watch your mouth, watch how you act. But yet, these are supposed to be distinguished gentlemen. All I had to say is that you can sit on the sidelines or you can go ahead and be a part of the fight. Some of us out here want to sit on the sidelines and do what they want to do. They're going to do what they say, and we keep rolling around. We're going to be the ones in the concentration camp. Just food for thought.
There you go. Always good food, Reggie. That's Reggie. I say out on that. Patrick, come on with it.
On the lines of what Reggie said, you know, we talked about, and Aaron mentioned it in terms of people having to come back and deal with stuff. A couple of years ago, we know that Juwan Howard had an incident. It wasn't correct, and we understand. But everybody was calling for his job, and, you know, he was getting, you know, slaughtered by various people in the media and the School of Michigan, which he's brought a whole bunch of money to. All right? So
They said the 5-game suspension was, some people thought it wasn't enough. Do you know what happened in that time with the 5-game suspension? 9 teams called to ask them about the job before they worked.
Hello.
And it wasn't no assistant coach either. 9 mm-hmm. teams asked
Good
about,
for him.
Well, you ain't got to be
not,
there.
Not,
you
not 4, not 5, not 6.
Thank you. Nine. This is
South Beach, man. South Beach.
Wait,
I like it.
Wait, and the words of my boy John Witherspoon. This is confirmed. Confirmed. 9 teams.
I'll coordinate that.
So when people were talking about him, and particularly after folks that even got a little crazy after they beat Tennessee, and he grabbed the kid to hug him, what were people to know? But Howard tried to recruit that kid to Michigan to play for him, but he wound up being in Tennessee. So that was a heartfelt kind of, not kind of heartfelt hug and embrace because they cared about each other. All right.
Mm-hmm.
So even though I have no love for those heathens up north, but I respect that brother a whole lot.
Oh, the Michigan Wolverines, Ohio State Buckeyes signed off on the Wolverines.
In the words of Nick Yamana, very well put.
There you go. I like that. Okay, Professor, put some very well put on us.
Well, first of all, let's keep these young men and women that we're sending in harm's way in our prayers and thoughts, because when there is no reset of what they do, they put their lives on their lives and their bodies on the line.
Yes, sir.
When they mm-hmm. get there, to include, I think it was Eric mentioned that, you know, just the physical is what we see, but a lot of times it's a mental aspect of it too that we don't see,
mm-hmm.
and we don't ever know what they're putting in these rounds that they fire out there. And
yes.
since Reggie is a Marine, we will warn today that the Marines will be live firing here at Fort Bragg for the next 2 weeks. They said
mm-hmm.
it was going to start tomorrow. Well, as Marines will do, they get up a little early, and they started live firing yesterday just to make
mm-hmm.
sure they're in the right place. And it sounds like it's next door. But
mm-hmm.
the other thing, you know, that we, you know, I know they've got to do what they got to do because, you know, as we found out last Thursday night, they're Marines in harm's way already over there anyway. So, you know,
okay.
we've got to come
always,
across
yeah.
the
yeah.
But, you know,
they got a lot of covert ops.
The last thing, you know, we mentioned this before. Is it just me or if you are a black woman in you want to get nominated for something, you got to have a white husband. Cause
come on.
It's like the commercials. More, maybe it's just me being narrow-minded, but it seems like an awful lot of these black women who are being nominated for various positions, high positions in our government
America
today, that white wives, that white husbands, And a lot of, you know, well, it didn't, I mean, Clarence Thomas proved it, you know, you can't really judge it because
Lord,
he got
Lord.
A wife who
I told
him
a long time ago.
He ain't, and she's still,
lied yet.
He
ain't lied yet.
Mm-hmm.
Ebony and all these things we work on, basketball in the next few days, so. I'll be getting some information out soon. Well, because you all will help me sell these books, so I thank you for your encouragement and all that
mm-hmm.
other stuff that go along with that. Because, I mean...
Go on, Professor. We like that. www.blackheaded.review.
Keep going, and more power to you, man.
Books,
t-shirts, work books, what I call that.
That's right. We don't need February
work.
To take anything. It's a
work.
Good day for black history.
Don't
put
let the professor title fool
table.
You.
Reads from
mm-hmm.
the Eric, carry
he's
it on, please.
Behind that. He's cloaking behind that professor term. That's angel work.
Mm-hmm.
Without being religious, because I'm very spiritual, but not religious.
I understand
like
the same way, bro.
And I got pictures of one of my family in Carbogallo.
Same here.
Films.
Same here.
You know, very spiritual, religious. No.
Church, yeah.
Yeah, yeah. Don't get me started because I could give him a sermon on that one.
Oh, yeah, 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 yeah. Yeah.
Hold dialogue. Hold dialogue. Hold dialogue. Lord, let the church say ow.
Ow.
Come on. Rick James style, right? Ow. Oh,
remember, God got lightning, so y'all better watch that.
It was true.
Some of us got lightning in our bloodstreams. We don't fear that.
Oh, shit.
Isn't
written in your law, ye are gods? Plural. I'm off it.
Man, please.
Come on. Please.
I'm off it.
We got to know who and who's and what we are.
Yeah, that's right. I mean, in my best Avery Jackson, I've been watching a lot of basketball, and I like how to play basketball.
I love Avery.
But a couple of things come to mind just on a few things. One, you know, there's so much neurochemistry research. A lot of it's really, like, super cutting edge to really fascinating.
Mm-hmm.
But it's been that people are considered the most intelligent of people.
I am
because
right. In swearing,
there is certain expressions that just really don't cover the situation.
I agree.
That's the fucking truth.
I agree.
You know, I mean, in other words, you know, someone leaving the gas or in the house, I will not come in my house and shut you not to keep the flame lit. What? I mean, that was just some dialogue.
Mm-hmm.
You know? And I can recall when I was coaching, you know, and I had some kids on my team, right, who had pastors as fathers, you know, and this, that, and the other, right? Like little rival church things in my team, right?
Mm-hmm.
Being in the black community that I was, right?
Mm-hmm.
And I recall, you know, I mean, I never had friction or anything, but I recall one time I had to address things, and I told my players one day, I said, hey, listen, man, can I share something with y'all that I was thinking about? Because I had a lot of religious type people in my squad, right? And so I have to tell you guys something. I said, one of my best traits is not swearing, you know what I'm saying? I do swear, right? And that's not what, I mean, trust me, I try to, you know, I want to be respectful. I will not swear in the presence of your parents or anything. I want to be respectful all the time. But there's going to be some expressions in the course of the game with some of my halftime banter that I may use an expletive or two. Will you hold that against me? I said, no, coach, we won't hold that against you.
Mm-hmm.
And I said, because if you did, you wouldn't be able to anyway. Now, boy, did ears perk
up.
Right. And I said, because I am not religious. So you can't hold my language to your book. Okay? You can't hold my language to your statutes. Now, I have a mother, you know, would never want me to use the language I've been using on the radio show from time to time. You know, even my father gave me a second. Let me be a little more understandable. Even though when my mother decided to express herself, she was extremely Shakespearean with her use of expletives. I have never heard such prose so poetic.
I know that's right.
So when it comes to articulation, these words were spoken well before any of us got here and well after we leave.
Hell yeah.
And as a result thereof, let he without sin cast the first stone.
Well, fucking Amen.
A guy named Bishop Bullwinkle that's on YouTube, right?
Yeah.
He's funny as all get out, right? You ever heard of Bishop Bullwinkle? Well, you heard
him
on Google.
Yep.
He says Bishop of the Church, and he shouts this song called Hell No. No.
That's right. Oh, Lord have mercy.
And every time I hear that song, sorry, ladies and gentlemen, my wife, they laugh, other people know, I go, that's my bishop.
That's right.
Okay, I'm done.
G, come on with it.
Yes, sir. Well, me out of Oakland, California, I turned the TV on.
St. Peter's were playing Kentucky. All my years in New Jersey and being in California, St. Peter's have always been the dog of the state. We had to deal with Princeton, and there was Paul, and there were Rutgers.
Mm-hmm.
St. Peter's upset.
Yes.
Number 15, Kentucky.
Mm-hmm.
My dad, St. Peter's Peacock, who got one-third of the tournament picks in
yep.
one night. One-third was gone because of St. Peter's Peacock.
Mm-hmm.
Peacocks make New Jersey proud. As a New Jerseyan, thank you very much.
Some Jersey love. Reggie, Gary, I may add to that, Gary. Some good news, the fact that it's, everybody in Jersey got the blue on and on the pumping the peacocks. And
yeah.
I, for one, you know, for years trained and worked out in St. Peter's. The bad news is the fact that one of the people who built St. Peter's program in the late 60s, Eric, you might know who this
yeah,
is.
Yeah,
El Nardo died yesterday.
El Nardo Webster? I mean, I'm taking a
yes,
wide stab at it. Am I right?
Yeah. Yes.
Okay.
He died yesterday.
Oh, wow. I used to watch him tear it up at the
yes.
headline in the Jersey Shore Summer League when he was
yes.
a player.
Mm-hmm. Yes.
You know,
yes.
El Nardo. And he was, and back then, there was a couple of Jersey City, you know, well, they could ball, but they were white dudes, you know, only by race. I don't want to brand them. Spinarco and O'Corin. Jim Spinarco.
Yep.
Mm-hmm.
Jim
Spinarco
mm-hmm.
is as Jim good Spinarco. As a color analyst as there is.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm.
I mean, I put Spinarco, I mean, from the basketball analytics in, but I don't know why he's never breaking into more of a prime time level. He is outstanding.
Yep. Because
would you agree with that? I mean, Spinarco calls it from a purist and a hoopologist kind of a mindset. He calls it right.
Yeah.
All right.
Arnold was a great ball player, man. So thanks for that Gibbs practice. I thought you were going to go Bob Duquette, but that's another story.
No, because I was with
okay. El Nardo. Okay.
Yeah. Quite frankly.
El Nardo Webster,
he
was dynamite,
wife.
Man. Rest in power, brother. I watched him play as a youth, man. I had a lot of respect for his game.
Yeah.
Yeah, I was with his. I was with his wife. His wife's brother is my best friend since I was 13. So I've been knowing
wow.
that all my
wow.
life, man.
So you're
yeah.
connected
that's
directly, right. yeah.
I was with the
yeah.
family tonight. I was with the family
wow.
tonight.
Wow. Yeah, rest in power, Bernardo.
Too bad he can't
be it'll be the Temptations against the War Tops.
Oh, shit. The competition begins.
That's
unfair, right,
Gary.
That's right.
David Ruffin. It's Jersey stuff, man.
Levi Stubbs. You know some good shit. Go ahead, G. That's what we
great
talk about. The real tournament begins very soon with the Big Vegas tournament. Drop them draws, y'all. We ain't done.
A lot more to come.
Yes, indeed.
I mean, come on, man. No dropping jaws. Jerry Buss and company not around. Come on, keep it.
Oh,
boy.
T, come on in, T-Mac.
We have breaking news from the Big Apple. According to the four-letter network, New York Mayor Eric Adams will lift the city COVID vaccine mandates on athletes Thursday, which of course will pave the way for the Brooklyn Nets to finish eighth in the Eastern Conference. And it will also make it so that unvaccinated Mets, Yankees, Rangers, Devils, whatever, to be able to play on opening day. Now the rollback of the mandate that has applied to all private businesses in the city would cover professional athletes, performers, and will come on the heels of discussions that have given hope to NBA fans and MLB fans who had long awaited for the move to come to fruition. So, again, congratulations to the Nets. You just clinched the eighth spot.
No shit.
Kyrie is another one of them dudes that are built in that one percenter. You know, so it's been a good thing for Elizabeth, New Jersey's basketball team under Kevin Boyle. Shaheen and Kyrie played for Boyle.
They both did.
Right. St. Patrick's and Elizabeth.
St. Patrick's.
That's
a hell of a
right, before
team.
He moved down to Monteverde. Right.
Yep. Mm-hmm. Yep.
And Kyrie, man, like I said, shit, Kyrie goes through his bullshit. And then the next time you see him, he'll put 40 on you by the half.
Mm-hmm. True that.
Gentlemen.
Yeah, go on.
Go ahead, Patrick.
I'm sorry.
Yes, sir.
I must admit the two right-handers that you got with the Mets look good, but we'll see by the end of the season.
Let
me come out and say it. The Braves are still the team to beat in the NL East.
Okay.
Well, you know, weather-wise, it's consistent because as I speak right now, there's fucking snow flurries coming out my window down here in South Jersey. It's
happy spring.
It's like the damn ground balls didn't get enough.
Hey, Mike, it was 84 out here, man. I almost cut on the AC.
Mm-hmm. See, look at this shit. It was 8 degrees Saturday.
Hey, Mike, do you want to drive with me to Al Gore's house, or should I drive with you?
That's what I'm talking about. Well, you know, at this point, and I'm fixing to do something else, but I want to thank the brothers for coming in and putting some good shit in the pot. I want to send some love to our sister Celeste, who's finally back on beam. I know she took a hit. Much love to the family, JK, Pia, everybody else. You know we love you. Hopefully everybody can get along and move on with the circle of life as it is. Our new ancestor will be looking out for us. So thank you for that. Having said all that, y'all know what time it is.
This time I'm walking to New Orleans. Into New Orleans. I'm gonna need to parachute when I get through walking these blues. When I get back to New Orleans, I've got my suitcase in my hand. I'm going back home to see. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. You used to be my honey, till you spent all my money. No use for you to cry, I see you by and by. Cause I'm walking to New Orleans. No time for talking, I've got to keep on walking. New Orleans is my home, that's the reason why I'm gone. Yes, I'm walking to New Orleans. I'm walking to New Orleans.
Night, y'all.